It's the Bob and Tom Show.
Comedian Jeff Rothpan here in the studio with us.
Morning, Jeff.
Tonight's
morning.
Show veteran.
Thank you. Thank
let's, let's go back. We like to you know, find out about you as a little boy up there in Canada. Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Well, it was all right. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. You know, every comedian says that, but I really mean it. I remember one time, this is absolutely true. When I was a kid, all these other kids got to go to the Barnum and Bailey Circus, and I remember begging my dad, please, I want to go. All the other kids are going. He said, no, we just can't afford it. Tickets are expensive. He ended up taking us to this Bob Circus. It was actually called, no, this is true.
Bob Circus.
Yeah, and it was in a mall parking lot. And what a difference when you go to a cheap circus. They had things like, I remember the guy yelling, and now huge midgets. What? What the hell is that?
They stand 5'10".
That's right. They're range from 5'8 to 6'2". The world's largest midgets. Look at them. Look at the size of these guys. Bunch of guys walking around.
That is a cheap circus, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Wow. Well, that was Bob.
One after another.
Bob Circus.
It was Bob.
Coming to a parking lot near you.
Right.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was just one after another. The bearded man. What the hell is that? It was like they were just making it up on the spot. And we all just sat there stunned, you know. We couldn't believe it. They had, I think they actually had the talking mute. Hi! Bad. What the hell is this?
How does he do it?
He's amazing. He's a mute, yet he speaks. Dad, we go home. My dad made us sit through the whole thing. It was the worst circus. We had to sit there. My dad said, I'd pay for this. You're going to sit through the circus and watch. And I think they had, what else? Oh, they had the world's first stripeless zebra. It's a horse. Stinking horse, Dad. Brown. Please. What the hell is that?
Good morning. Hello. From coast to coast, it's the Bob and Tom Show. Many portions of the upcoming program have been pre-recorded, meaning they've already happened. And they're about to happen again. So where was I? Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have you here. It's the Bob and Tom Show.
With us in the studio, comedian Bobcat Goldthwait is here with us. Once again, good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning. I guess I'm here to celebrate the Chappaquiddick anniversary. I was listening to earlier.
It's a big day.
Huge day.
Huge. Not like, you know, the Monica Lewinsky thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was pretty trite. But when Bill Clinton goes, I didn't have sexual relations, I know you're going, wow, Monica Lewinsky, we better carbon date this material. It's some pretty fresh stuff. But I do have a point. I'm going to get that. Monica Lewinsky, when he goes, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman. That pissed me off because that meant Jack and Bobby Kennedy were in hell going, damn it, we didn't have to kill Marilyn. I'm pretty sure the gunman on the grassy knoll was either Arthur Miller or Joe DiMaggio. Bang my wife, will ya? Hey, what's Woody Harrelson's dad doing up on this knoll?
Oh, my.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, my.
Interesting analysis.
Yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait is here with us, and we all have dreams, you know, and mm-hmm. what we do if we really ever had the big bucks in life. And my dream has always been to make the cinematic version of Mr. Ed. But yeah. I bring that up because Bobcat was, as I recall, weren't you featured in...
In a movie similar to that.
Oh, yeah.
Hot to Trot.
Yeah, right out of the gate, bring up my porn past. I'd rather you brought up. Hey, you know, no, that's friendly. All right.
He loves. He's not.
I'm not making that up. Bob.
You don't finish a hot to dry and go, wow, we're not going to get one better than that.
No.
You know, I'm kind of.
I know you think he's being a smart aleck, but he loves talking horses. He really does.
Yeah. If I was Tom Hanks, you'd be going, hey, I really love Turner and Hooch.
Well,
that's
I did.
Nice that you won Oscars.
He did.
But,
yeah. We love Bachelor Party. That was our
Bachelor Party.
Bachelor Party.
That movie, Eight Legged Freaks, looks so bad. I can't believe I'm not in it. Do you know what I mean?
You know it. You're right.
Yeah,
that
that's
it.
True.
I think I should tell David Arquette, hey, you better watch it. You're going to be doing comedy clubs.
Bobcat Goldthwait is our guest. I truly did.
You like it? Hot to try? All right. Well, that put me in comedy jail, that movie.
Yeah,
I like goofy movies.
Do you?
I mean, I'm sure, you know, Road to Perdition's great and everything, but, you know, it's so... So
give me a slapstick.
Ponderous and
I went to see that.
Serious.
I saw that a couple nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these, you know, it was just infuriating. Like, I probably have something to do with this, but the youths of America, when the violence happened during that film, they were like laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it was, not that it was a real movie. I know what you, I'm losing you here, but on the, when I was in, I was in the bathroom and I heard these guys going, well, Tom Hanks, thank you for nothing. We should have went and saw Mr. Deeds.
Thank you for nothing.
Like, what did they think they were going to see?
I don't know.
I didn't hear them laughing during Road to Perdition because they were too busy answering their cell phones.
Oh,
yeah, 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 a lot of cell phones going off during this one too. Maybe we were in the same theater.
It could be.
Now, I didn't see Phantom Menace or the Attack of the Clones because I'm 40 years old and I've been laid. So Star Wars, The Lord of the Rings, you know, none of that stuff really. But like a jerk, I went to the Star Wars re-release, and they had added a couple scenes with the computer-generated image of Jabba the Hutt, right? Uh-huh. And like, I'm a nerd, but this audience is like uber nerds who had memorized every damn frame of the movie, and they go nuts when Jabba the Hutt shows up, because he's a computer-generated Jabba the Hutt. I don't know what their beef is, but they're like going, fake. Fake. This is true. Fake. Like the movie's gonna go, oh, you caught us. And finally, I snap. I go, yeah, Jabba's fake. He's not like the real Chewbacca. Listen, you nerds, this is all fake. It's in outer space. None of it happened. And if it did happen, there wouldn't be any explosions because outer space is a vacuum, and that means it's void of oxygen. And in order to create a fire, you need oxygen. In fact, in real space, the sound can't even travel in a pure vacuum. You would just have spaceships silently firing missiles in the other craft, and they would implode and spin off course. That's the worst thing that could happen, you nerd. Actually, that's not what I really said.
I know what you really said.
I thought, you know, later on, I'm much clever. What I really said was, I did say, like, have any of you nerds ever seen a could you pick a out of a police lineup? If I had a and a donut and a mop, could you tell me the difference between these things? Because the day you actually see one, you're going to throw that stormtrooper cookie jar right out the window. You're going to go, what was I thinking about? I go, I don't know. We've been trying to tell you about it for years.
Let's hope the two of them are wet.
Okay.
Right. Bobcat Goldthwait is our guest. We can arrange a special screening of the Star Wars, and but by the time you finish watching them, you'll be 41.
Yeah, yeah.
Sadly,
oh. I know. Yeah. You know, I got fired from the Hollywood Squares.
Did you?
You did.
Yeah. Now, do you know how embarrassing that is? It's like having sex with an ugly person, and then right in the middle of it, they stop you and say, you gotta go.
You ain't doing it for
me. I'm like, what do you mean I gotta go? You're the best I can get right now.
Oh, my.
This was the 80s, I wouldn't even be here. I was the white snake of comedy for a while. I was huge.
Huge.
Huge. No, I didn't get fired.
So
I got
Tony Katane, too? No, I'm just
what?
Kidding.
Oh. What?
White Snake.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot she used to go out with that guy from White Snake. Yeah, I forgot she was squatting on the hood of the car.
Yeah.
Well, no, I got fired because, I don't know, they were trying to put some spin on it, like they were downsizing or something. We're only going to be six squares next season, so we got to let you go there, Bob Scratch. So, no, I got fired because nobody would call on me and whatever, because I would... I'll clean it up, but I really did. I snapped one day because, like, you wear a different change of clothes,
mm-hmm.
and you do five of them in a row. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it, so it looks like a week.
Right.
So, fifth show, I hadn't been called once. Two squares left. You need me to win. You need me to win. And the guy still called on Judd Nelson instead of myself. He's like Judd Nelson. And I snapped. I go, it's tic-tac-toe, you freaking idiot. And they go, cut. And they yank me out of the square. This is a true story. They're like, don't swear at the contestants. I'm like, I don't even know I brought a change of clothes. You never even see me on camera. When I sat on Bruce Valanche's lap.
We're going to take a little break.
All right.
Oh.
And come back with our fabulous guest.
We are underway on a Monday morning. Coming up in just a few minutes, comedian and writer Bill Schecht, rabbis, and next, body spray, shower tablets, and comedian Dan Davidson from 2006. That's all coming up here on The Bob and Tom Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. This is Christopher in the Bob and Tom Studios, the Napa Auto Parts Studios for a Monday. The Bob and Tom Show out on summer vacation. They'll be back next Monday. We'll bring you some great segments here of the Bob and Tom Show, like this one about body spray, shower tablets, and comedian Dan Davidson, a segment from 2006.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. We don't have Christy this morning.
Oh, man, the food tastes better. The air's cleaner.
Now stop that.
I got something about
I'm
air
kidding.
I want to mention after I introduce our guest, comedian Dan Davidson over there. Clean cut, young man.
Yes.
Dan, nice to see you,
good
sir.
Good to see you again. Yes.
He has the most positive outlook of any other adult I've ever met. In
who, Dan?
Dan. He's always got a smile on his face, ready to go. Look at him.
And I am not on medication.
Look at that.
I don't get that. Was I happy the other night?
Yeah, you were happy. I saw him, and he does his little thing, evidently stand-up. He does stand-up.
And, stand-up comedian,
he was very
yes.
good. Yes, very good.
I met your wife.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, well.
Nice. And then she
avoided. Do you find
it.
That too much tongue when you kissed her was the worst, what was your take on
she
that?
She doing that to you, too?
Well, that's the way he divided it up. He says, this is the woman we're going to be sharing after the show.
That's how I introduced her.
Nice.
Caught a little hell for that, but I got some laughs, and that's the important thing, Bob.
Nice.
Now, I want to bring something up. You mentioned the air.
Yes.
And, clean air. And yesterday I ended up, oddly enough, making two different Thanksgiving meals. It's a lot of fun, though.
I can imagine the total chaos at your home yesterday.
No, it wasn't bad. I got up really early and had a great time. And
I see dogs barking and guys on unicycles and jugglers. And
it was fun. But at one point, one of my younger sons, who's 13 years old, I had mentioned that it would be a good day to get clean, guests coming over.
You mean trying to encourage him to shower?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah,
you mean
that can be a? I don't know why that's a problem with
how old is he?
13.
13. You know,
that'll stop when he's 25.
Yeah. In any event, I had one of those pumpkin candles lit, and I'd had a turkey
okay,
in the oven.
No.
Since
all right, hold on. Now wait a minute.
Hold it.
Woke up at 7:30 to light a candle.
Could you repeat that again, gay boy?
Here's our evidence. Dan is you're an observer. Yeah, you don't have any interest. What have we gone over so far this morning? He's cleaned his kitchen.
Yes.
Beyond.
Oh, I know it's spotless. He cooked two meals yesterday.
Cooked two meals.
It.
Evidently making turkey omelets.
Lit a pumpkin candle.
And now he's lighting pumpkin candles. You are gay as the day is long.
Yeah, whatever. That's
whatever.
If that's going to make you happy, is that going to make you happy?
Oh man, if I can only climb on top.
So you have the pumpkin candle.
Yeah. So the point is, I got up really early,
mm-hmm.
and there's actually a pretty funny story I'll tell about that in a second. But I just wanted to. I've got guests coming over, and there had been an incident with one of the dogs. I'm trying to get the house a little fresher. And but I had to put a turkey in really
did
early.
Did he take a Duke in the house? Is that it? That's the only time I would light a pumpkin candle.
Well, so I'm trying. Uh-huh. The point is, the house had a certain smell to it. It was very nice. I've got a turkey cooking. Mm-hmm. Got the pumpkin candle lit, and Willie walks into the living room, and it's almost as if a wave of insecticide came across the room. and I hate to sound like an old man, but these young people and some of these new colognes that they're wearing.
Yeah.
My God.
It's not a matter of the smell of the cologne. It's the amount that the kids put on. And they don't understand that just a little bit behind the
but see,
neck.
He's, and he's, they're well,
they spray the whole bottle.
Were you having guests over that were female, that were roughly his age?
He just, this is, they used the body wash. This is the whole thing.
Yeah.
I spoke to one of the teachers at one of the schools one of my kids goes to. It's, they can't use, and I won't name the product. There is a certain product. It has been banned.
Is it like the, it's
a well-known
a hatchet.
It's a well-known weapon.
Could be
that say lumberjacks use,
right?
Because there's just so many kids wearing this stuff. As Bob said, it's a matter of the amount. So moms and dads, you've got to train them.
Yeah, they don't need a lot.
I mean, this literally, it was like a wave of insecticide hit the room.
It's their high karate. Remember high karate?
Yeah.
Oh man.
That was bad even then.
Yeah.
But that's not the...
Yeah, but it's the advertising is why they do it. Because it's guaranteeing that you're going to...
Right.
Yeah.
But panties will be dropping.
Why don't they call that panty dropper?
That's what happens.
Cologne. Have you seen Borat?
Panty dropper, yes.
There's effectively the same joke, and I don't want to spoil it. When he goes to buy the car.
Right.
There's a similar... I did have something... I've mentioned these sort of movie moments that you have in your life where you think you feel like you're in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I told this story quickly. I was at an intersection, a beautiful sunny day, and there was a guy coming the other way. He was stopped at the light, and he was in an old-fashioned beautiful old convertible. And there was this gorgeous woman sitting next to him, and this guy was very openly in the middle of the day in a relatively urban area smoking a joint. And I'm thinking, wow, that's stupid and wrong, and he's going to get popped by the police. And then his light turns green. And it's a very busy intersection, and you don't want to miss the light because you're going to... And the guy just sits there. And there was no one behind him. I'm thinking, this is like in a movie. This doofus is so stoned.
So that's no hurry whatsoever.
But you know, it's sort of the cinematic, and you think, God, you're kind of looking around.
Is there a camera?
Anybody else see this?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday morning, I usually have to shower very quickly. We get up very early in the morning. It's a big mad scramble to get into work. Yesterday morning, a little more relaxed, so I decide I'm going to shave in the shower.
Nice. Groin or just face?
Just face.
Yeah.
But I get in the shower, and I had just installed a new mirror to shave with in my shower.
full length or just a little shaving?
Is it the bottom of the tub?
Yeah, you have always got something going, man.
Where is the mirror? Is it?
It's at face level.
Oh, okay. It's not on the floor.
Why
of the
do
tub,
you shave your groin
the
then?
That's what you need, a full-length mirror in the bathroom.
No. So I got this mirror right there, so I...
You're shaving.
And I've thrown in one of those...
You missed a spot, by the way.
No. Let me... You'll see why in a moment. So I get all soaped up.
Wait a minute. You threw in something. What'd you say? You threw in something?
You throw in those tablets that when the shower steams up, give off the... fumes to air out the...
Ladies and gentlemen, man is the gayest person.
I'm sorry.
You don't use those things?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
It's like
a... You mean like a salvo tablet?
I know, like a salvo tablet. You get a free towel and a box of salvo, right, Dan? Remember that?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
You've never seen those shower tablets?
No.
What do we do?
They're about, you drop it in the floor of the shower?
Yeah.
And then what happens?
You drop it on the mirror?
You drop it in the floor. It gives off fumes.
Uh-huh.
That you pass out until you die?
And it just...
It
smells nice?
It's eucalyptus. And it's a eucalyptus.
Oh, my God.
You've got steamy eucalyptus in your shower. You guys don't do this?
No, we don't. In fact, we missed the meeting last Thursday.
That's because we're not queer. Yeah.
Telling you.
Shower tablets? Never heard of them.
Try the eucalyptus. Oh,
really?
Never heard of them.
Here's the routine. You get up.
Walk me through it.
You get up. You go out, have a quick dog party.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Let the dogs out.
Sure.
Feed the dogs. Turn in your computer, spend a few minutes, bring the dogs in. While on the computer, you go back, turn the shower on, throw the tablet, and let the shower get good and hot. After about 5 minutes, you walk in.
You let it run for 5 minutes?
Well, I live in an older house.
It
takes a while.
In desert sand.
I know.
Oh, my God.
He's wasting all that.
Where do you get these things?
Drugstore.
Now, do you have
the drugstore?
So you've got the eucalyptus, steamy eucalyptus, clearing out your sinuses. I don't know. I'm not in much. I've already put my turkey in the oven. I'm in a great mood.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When'd you put the turkey in the oven? At the dog party?
In between the dog party and
the eucalyptus
and the computer.
I popped the turkey in earlier.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So my point is this. I do have to go to the grocery store, and I want to get. In any event, I've got the. I'm in the shower. I'm all soaped up, and then
eucalyptus. Working. Mm-hmm.
Have the shaving cream out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got the shaving cream on. And then I get into this kind of goofy, I don't know what I was thinking. I decided what it would look like if I were Santa Claus. So I put the full Santa beard on with shaving foam. I'm sure you've done this.
It's in a Jerry Lewis movie I saw one time.
And then here's the cinematic part of this.
Yeah.
So I've got the steamy water, uh-huh. I'm covered in soap, got the beard,
yeah,
and my shower goes dead.
No
just
kidding.
Dead. I mean, no maybe water instantly.
Maybe you should jump in when you turn it on, because maybe you realize that the whole city ran out of water because you leave it running for that long? I still don't understand the shower tablets. I'm baffled by these.
They're shower tablets. They're about, I don't know, about
the size of what?
Thick, and they're the size of
like a
Necco
wafer?
A little bigger than a golf ball.
Uh-huh. And is there a shower tablet aisle at the pharmacy?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
They're coming in a blue box. Oh, we have someone about shower tablets. Line 8, please.
All right.
Great.
Morning, Bob and Tom show.
Good morning.
Hi, who's
Good
this?
Rock.
Thank you. Who's this?
We'll just go with Sam for
see?
Now.
See, Sam is embarrassed.
See, Sam's embarrassed because do you use the shower tablets, Sam?
I bought them for my wife.
And Sam, and what's his name?
Hey.
Yeah, have you ever tried? Have you ever tried one, Sam?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's for if you have like a head cold.
Yeah, it puts
they open you like
eucalyptus
like
in the air, hot steam. It's great.
Yeah.
In fact, I hope to get some for Christmas.
So it's more of a medicine than it is a shower.
Oh, tub. You're going to get some for Christmas.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love these things. Aren't they great, though?
Yeah, it's more of a medicine.
Really?
It opens up your sinus passages early in the morning. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Nice
hot
shower.
Right.
So, Sam, there I am standing there with a full gigantic white beard of shaving foam, soap all over my body. My shower goes completely
dead. Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a visual. I don't need it, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Tom all soaped up. Yeah, no thanks. All right. Well, thanks, Sam.
So all day I smell like soap.
Did you not get any water back?
No. Had to towel off. Push on with my day.
Caked in soap.
I just wiped it off with a... Just wiped it off with a few towels and moved on.
And lit a pumpkin candle to get rid of that smell.
Yeah.
What's all that
eucalyptus?
I was quite refreshing all day, I'm sure.
I am constantly amazed at how you function.
How you actually live.
I just don't.
Did you go next door and borrow the shower?
Yeah, why don't you go over there and like a
go
towel?
Go over and, you know.
Because it was 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and I was...
Well,
I had,
aren't
I had
they
thing,
old? They're up. They're
I had
like
things
up all
to
night,
do.
Aren't they? Or something?
I had things to do. I had to get in the car and go to
Did your water ever come back on? How did you finish cooking your meal?
Oh, the water came back on.
Why didn't you jump back in and shower off?
Never had time. Had to keep cooking all day.
I don't have...
He ran out of eucalyptus tablets.
Bob, if I don't have time...
Right.
To rinse myself in the shower.
I know.
I'd already gotten my
I gotta move!
On.
I gotta go!
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. With us in the studio, comedian Dan Davidson. Dan's a very fine stand-up comedian.
Well, he's not been on Conan O'Brien. How good can he be?
When was the last time you were on Conan?
The show?
Yes.
Never.
All right.
Okay, you feel good now?
I was trying to tease Dan and make him be on Conan O'Brien. Maybe Conan O'Brien's people are listening right now, and they're going, yeah, but we get this Dan Davidson kid on the show.
Yeah, day after Thanksgiving, early in the morning. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm
sure
sorry. Everybody's I'm out up. Of sorts. You know what's coming up this weekend, and it's the big elephant in the room, and none of us want to talk about it, and it's fine. It's my last 40 birthday and my anniversary.
His anniversary and his birthday are on Sunday.
I'm going to be 49 Saturday, and the Redskins are going to lose to the Panthers. By 14, and
your 10th wedding anniversary, is that correct?
I guess. I don't know. Is that who that person is? Like I said, I send the dogs out to see if it's okay, and then I come out of my room. You know that.
Wow. So you're all upset about your anniversary?
Actually more upset about my birthday, and I'm upset because I'm upset. You ever get that way?
No.
I didn't think I would be upset about my 49th birthday.
Well, Bob and I couldn't care less, so why are you so worried about it?
We're surprised you're alive. You should be celebrating that.
I'm surprised I'm alive as well. You know, every morning I think about that, that garage. The old Robert Young.
Let me see. Morning, Bob and Tom show.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Stacy from Louisville.
Hi, Stacy.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Wonderful Thanksgiving.
Now, were you cooking or just eating?
No, we just ate. Went to my mother-in-law.
Okay, well, good
for you.
Nice. Glad you had a good time. What's on your mind?
Man, I got two teenage boys that play football, and I went to pick them up, and we had about two other guys that we had with us. Not only was they stinky and sweaty, they decided that they were going to spray body spray all over.
Oh, yeah, see, to cover up the sweat.
That's what I was talking about. It's just way too much.
So you got five football players in the car with you?
I had four of them, and I guess the word body spray makes them think it should go everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful.
And you walk in the drugstore, they've got the body wash, the body spray, the shower gel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just, I just thought, man, when y'all were talking about it, it just brought it right back.
Brought back memories, huh?
Of course, hand them a bar of soap, and they look at you like,
what's this? I don't need soap. I need, can spray myself clean.
I need body gel. It's $10 for a jar when you...
Man, it's awful.
It is awful.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. And I don't know which brand they're using, but the one that my son Willie wears smells just like insecticide.
I don't know, man.
It's rough.
So good.
Let me ask you this. Ever used the shower tablets?
No, I have not used
them. Okay,
that.
Fine.
You're a witness.
I'm telling you, Stacey.
Would you date a man who used shower tablets?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Stacey. I'm telling you, they're the greatest.
Don't lie.
You get in the shower, and it's got that eucalyptus smell, and it clears up your sinuses.
I've seen it advertised, and I've thought about getting them. You know?
Well, they actually, I love them. A day doesn't go by that I don't throw
a
one.
A day doesn't go by. Wow.
Now, that's scary.
It is scary.
You're a fruit.
Uh-huh.
You gotta take care of your nasal passages.
Yeah, I guess so.
And the koalas living.
Why don't you just get a... You know, as complicated as you like to make your life, why don't you have a eucalyptus tree and a koala right there in your bathroom? I don't know why you don't do that.
No kidding. Thanks for calling.
Don't give him any ideas.
I know.
I looked into the koala. Okay. Do you know that koalas have a...
Here we go.
They defecate.
They defecate
every
little shower tablets.
Yes, they do.
Don't they defecate every 3 minutes?
You're
looking at me like
what?
Google, you got Google.
Isn't that right? What have you? Where?
We'll be back with that answer in a moment.
We do have to take a break.
don't they have the Guinness Book of World Records for the most?
It's an incredibly short amount of time, but I think it's longer than three minutes.
I will be looking up koala defecation during the break.
I mean, that's got to be
It's got to be hard to hide.
You
can't hide as a koala. There's a little trail everywhere you go.
Yeah. Every three minutes.
How do you date?
Wow.
So what's your... Oh, sorry.
And yeah, what if you're not on the same cycle? It could happen every minute and a half.
Hey, could I please have the salt?
Oh.
don't do that here. We're coming right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, coming up next hour here on the Bob and Tom Show, the Bob and Tom players and actor Clint Howard. But coming up next, comedian and writer Bill Sheft and rabbis. You don't want to miss it. This is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show from the Napa Auto Parts Studios. This is Christopher here on your Monday. Hope you're having a nice one. Comedian and writer Bill Sheft used to be a writer for David Letterman, amongst others. Pretty famous guy, book writer, comedian. Bill Sheft here on the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Our guest host is comedian and writer Bill Sheft. Bill spent 24 years working with David Letterman, and he's also a novelist. His new book is called Shrink Thyself. Chick McGee, of course, is at the Quality Driver Sports Desk. We say driveqd.com. We're heading over there in just a second.
Calm down. I got lots of stuff over here.
If you want to become a trucker, it's driveqd.com. Also joining us in the Napa Auto Parts Studios, P. Taz, and formerly at the Sex Desk, now the Fact Checker.
Thank you.
When we called it the Sex Desk, it's like...
I host a show for Playboy TV, Bill, by the way. This is why they...
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
But it's like a priest who's an expert on marriage. You know, it's... You know
it's
what I'm
like
saying?
A priest. It's an okay. I see what you're
saying. Yeah, right. I see what he's saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's implying that
I understand.
Like a priest who's a marriage counselor.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
they don't really.
Okay.
So due to your various personality quirks, of course, people find it difficult to
forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. You sin. Sit back.
Get a load of this. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You have to wonder if priests ever, after a long day, they sit around with their fellow priests and. Guy looks up and goes, "You're not going to believe what I heard today." I mean, because they're human beings.
Absolutely.
Every once in a while, they have to get one that
maybe not in its magnitude, but in its weirdness.
Yeah.
They go, I had a lady today tell me, and they just have some incredibly
bizarre.
You think
bizarre. They talk shop? They,
oh,
they,
sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Stories? Really?
Are there confession hours, Christy? Is there hours that people go in there?
I thought it was supposed to be open all 24
hours. Yeah, I thought it was open.
No. It's not a bank.
They can't sit in the little cubicle.
It's not like an ATM.
No, no.
Sure?
It's usually Wednesday evenings or before Saturday evening mass.
But not, in the movies, it's always great in the movie because they've got the little phone booth thing and the thing slides over.
Right. And that's how I remember confession. And now it's face-to-face. And let me tell you.
Whoa.
That's no good. I'm out on that.
That's
That is my cue to leave.
Ray Donovan's got a confession coming up. You know, that's the big. The season finale's coming up Sunday.
Yeah,
Are you caught up?
No, I'm not caught up yet.
So all confessions face-to-face?
Not all of them. Mm. I mean, some.
You can request the booth.
Some.
Yeah, I'm in the booth.
Yeah. I mean, there. Or you're you could go
Jewish. Well, see, I would be in the booth if I had I not been Jewish.
Yeah, when you say in the booth, that's a whole different thing. That's Nuremberg.
Right, that's show world.
Of course.
Speaking of this, in the Jewish world, A Serious Man, the Coen Brothers movie, gosh, that's a great movie.
Oh, man.
You should go watch that.
That is a phenomenal movie.
Him having a problem and going to talk with a rabbi.
But going to talk with, like, the JV rabbi.
That's right.
And he says, and the so we'll just tell your listeners, that the Yiddish expression for when you get a divorce is you have to get a get, G-H-E-T.
Right, a get, yeah.
So he goes and sees this, you know, this 21-year-old rabbi.
It's Simon Helberg from the Big Bang Theory.
He says to him, I need a get. And the rabbi goes, a what? You know, I mean, it's like the old, you know, it's like I used to do a bit in my act about, you know, that I was from a very liberal Jewish family. My parents believed in the Ten Commandments, but they believed you could pick five. And I was from a very liberal synagogue. And one time I went up to the rabbi, I said, Rabbi O'Donnell, how come Jews aren't allowed to eat pork? And he went, what? It's the same. It's sort of the same.
I just like the notion we've been coming up with fake TV shows all morning. I think JV Rabbi.
Oh, I love it.
Tonight on CBS.
A very special JV Rabbi.
Well, they have to start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they've had these ridiculous shows for years. They've had the crime-fighting priests.
Right.
In fact, there's one right now on PBS. What's that one on PBS with the crime? He's an Episcopal priest, but he's the crime-fighting post-World War II priest. I forget what that show's called. Very well done. But have they ever had a crime-fighting rabbi?
I don't think so.
I think they did.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. Yes, there was a show.
Freeze! Drop that schmata!
Yeah.
I'll have to dig it up. I think there was one. I know that you are on Twitter.
Yes.
Bill Schecht, S-C-H-E-F-T. Bill, by the way, is also a very fine novelist. His new one is called Shrink Thyself. Is Dave much of a tech guy? I know that you're using a phone that appears to have been one of the ones made pretty early on by Alexander Bell.
It's a Coleco. It's my phone. It's a Coleco phone.
Because I should explain that I had a flip phone until 3/4 of July's ago, and then I drank the Kool-Aid, and now I'm
changed.
But let me just say this, and we can continue. But I find. Making fun of people's phones is the new racism. I'm just going to go on record.
That's right. That's exactly
it's the
right.
New,
it's, I'm not going to participate in
it.
Yeah. It's
wrong. One of our Twitter followers, Brian, he wrote yesterday, I was wondering why Bill was back on the road. I thought maybe divorce. Then you mentioned the flip phone. Yeah.
Bill has one of the great marriages going. I mean, you always speak so highly of your wife, and she's a great comedian, and you're always so just so kind and nice to her. So that's one of the great things about you.
And she to me. I mean, that's, you know, that's the whole. And we met in the clubs a million years ago. We met at Catch a Rising Star in 1980.
Is she the one that got you off the cigars?
No, I got off the cigars. my doctor is a guy I went to school with. He was graduated a year ahead of me, and I had been smoking. I was never without a cigar, and so this is 1995, and all of a sudden I had this thing going where anytime I would open my mouth for like 2 seconds, it was like I had taken a bite of the hottest pizza, my whole mouth would get just burnt, and I couldn't understand it. And it was so I go to him, my doctor, and I say, look, I got this thing. He says, well, why don't you try laying off the cigars for 2 weeks? And I said, what the hell am I going to do if I can't smoke cigars? He said, well, why don't you try cigarettes? This is my doctor. Same guy that one time I was there for I went for a checkup, and I get on the scale, and it's like it's 5 pounds heavier than the figure in my head. Mm-hmm. And I said, this can't be right. And he looked at me and said, let's sue the scale company. Very funny. Funny like a comic.
Once again, writing for the David Letterman Show for 24 years. You pretty much were in the joke department rather than – did you ever do any of the – did you ever say to the guys doing some of the on-the-street stuff or some of the more visual – did you ever come up with any of that stuff?
When,
did you ever say, why don't you guys try
that? At NBC, when the monologue was only 3 or 4 jokes long, I worked on everything. And then when we got to CBS, they doubled the monologue. They made it 8 jokes. And then eventually it was about 12 or 14 jokes. So I didn't really work on a lot. I mean, I would do the top 10. All the writers would work on the top 10. But I didn't do a lot of concept stuff. But I did come up with a couple of pieces over the years. We did one thing where it was uniform numbers with Bill Scheff, which was a segment that we ran, which of course nobody but Dave and I liked, where I was in a soundproof booth, which was not soundproof, and Alan Coulter would ask me these the players, and I would give their numbers, and he would always find some way to weasel out of the big $10 million grand prize, you know. And it did that. There were a couple of pieces that I came up with, but mostly there were like 3 guys working on the monologue, and there were about 10 guys working on everything else in the show.
And now we've talked a lot about some of the stuff that happened there. That you guys had a pretty regular routine. The staff, the ladies and gents that worked there, you'd kind of get plugged in every day. You knew what your duties were, and you'd
right.
Write
it was.
Your
I used to say about the place that it was like working at a daily newspaper, a weekly magazine, and a monthly magazine, because you know you would work on that day's show. You would also be writing material for stuff for the end of the week. And then these big prop pieces that we would do, like the Halloween costumes or
when
new books.
When the kids would come to
right.
the door.
Those you had to get in like 3-4 months in advance because it took a while to build those props. And so that was like working at a monthly magazine.
Oh. What was
like
the
Playboy.
Yeah. Of course.
Oh, we're getting back to Pete Tassin at Playboy Television. We'll get back to Bill in just a second. I did want to let you finish here. You said you had some more interesting sports. What you said there was a guy that was 100 years old that broke some record.
But first, you know, I'm on Twitter, ChickTheGee1, and every now and then I get these fabulous tweets from a magazine called Mental Floss.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom, will you describe what the picture is this morning? It's last been invented. It's been invented.
It's a waffle iron that looks just like a keyboard.
Hey, that kid's from Letterman.
No kidding. That kid worked
at Letterman. That kid, Chris Domino, in the graphics department at Letterman, invented that.
This is amazing.
That's
you know
hilarious.
How much I love waffles.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And now, Bill knows how much I like waffles.
That's hilarious.
Can you see?
It's a waffle iron that creates a waffle that looks just like a keyboard.
Yeah, Chris Domino from Letterman.
Man. I had no idea the connection. Well, that's great.
And you wouldn't believe how long it took to get that, you know.
Made?
To get the copy, to get the prototype, to get it all, you know, through to where you could buy this.
Really?
The process, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because it's, you know, it's a great idea. I came up with an idea years ago, and I lived in New York, and I had a room with a guy that worked at Macy's, and I said, I have a phenomenal idea for Christmas. And he said, well, go see this guy. So I went to the guy and I said, it's a tremendous idea. It's Eddie Decanter. It's a decanter that looks like Eddie Cantor. And the guy says,
how many years ago?
This is in 82. So the guy says to me, he says, okay, 2 things. I said, and it'd be great for Christmas. It'd be a big selling item for Christmas.
I
the guy
said,
first of all, he says, it's November. He said, you think we're going to put this out in a month? He says, second, who? Nobody knows right. Eddie yeah. Cantor. Yeah. Yeah.
Three, isn't Mr. Cantor of the Jewish faith when he was alive?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the twist. Yeah. That's where
his middle name was Israel. Yeah. That's how Jewish he is.
Edward Israel Cantor. Yeah.
Coming up next hour, the Bob and Tom Players, also actor Clint Howard, comedian Kathleen Dunbar, but coming up next, West Coast correspondent Al Jackson. You'll hear that next here on the Bob and Tom Show. We're back here on the Bob and Tom Show for a Monday. This is Christopher speaking from the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Actor Clint Howard's been around a long time. He was on the Andy Griffith Show with his brother, Ron Howard. Clint Howard was the kid who was always offering Barney Fife a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He was also in the Austin Powers movies, the guy looking at the radar, the Army guy looking at the radar, and said, look, it's a really big... And then they would switch to something else like melons. Clint Howard in the studio here on the Bob and Tom Show.
This room's gotten a lot better looking. We have, of course, the very handsome sportsman, Chick McGee.
Thank you very much.
That's little Josh Arnold over there.
Hey!
With a special event in Delphi with Greg Hahn coming up Saturday evening.
Yeah, followed by a special event at Horror Hound Weekend where a couple movies I'm in will be shown.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's true. Yeah. The famous Horror Hound Weekend, speaking of, well, I can't do speaking of horrors, and...
Horrors.
Call
horrors.
Me a whore. It's,
no, I said I can't do that. We have one of the representatives from Horror Hound. He is an actor who has been in so many movies. There are too many.
I know what happens to him. People just come up and yell lines at you, right? From what you've
I would
been
imagine
in.
So.
It's Clint Howard.
And Landers sucks.
Now, Chick, admittedly, you and I have been yelling it all week.
Yeah.
That's true.
People have been, they want me to say it. They don't really say it to me. They seem to get a kick out of wanting me to say it. So when I say Ann Lander sucks, and I really give it
See?
To him, I oh, give yeah. him the full oh, Monty.
Let's yeah. say, can we hear it, please?
Like you did in the back seat of the, on the Seinfeld yeah. show, yeah.
Ann Lander sucks.
Yes. Yes.
Well, now that will forever be on repeat.
Yes.
Clint Howard is our guest, along with Kathleen Dunbar. And Clint, have you seen every movie you've been in, or sometimes you just pass?
No, I believe there's probably been things I haven't seen. But I've seen most of them. Okay. I've seen little clips, or at least my scene.
Yeah, because when looking you up, it's just this endless stream
it's
of TV
overwhelming
shows and movies.
Of how many things you've been in, yeah.
Well, I've been really lucky. And I tell you what, I did really well when I was a child. And obviously the camera liked me, and I had a great mentor. My dad was a wonderful
– The great Rance Howard. Yeah.
Rance Howard's still alive. In fact, he's getting ready to go work on a movie, and he's gonna turn 89 years old here pretty
wow.
soon.
Oh,
and
my
he's working on a three-week movie, and he's number one on the call sheet.
Wow.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, no. But I tell you what, and this is something I realized about a year ago. Dad was always just this wonderful mentor. But Ron was a great example. My brother Ron Howard, 5 years older than me. It was like having an older brother who was a baseball player or something. It's like, oh, I can do that. I can do what he does. So there was no competition, just an opportunity for him to show me what he was doing was very doable. So I had no fear. I never had any fear of acting. And then as a young man, I certainly made horrible mistakes that a much younger man makes. And then needing to get kind of myself back on track and getting my career going, I worked in everything. There was only one film that I didn't do, and that was, because of the wardrobe, it was The Flintstones.
Oh.
Oh. Hmm.
There's no way I'm going to be one of Fred and Barney's bowling buddies, because with that... With that fur-lined leather bowling outfit, there is no way Clint is looking good. And so that actually is one of – there's been a couple of things, some have, out of taste, but that was just pure vanity. I did not work in the original Flintstones.
Gotcha.
Is there a particular – when people come up to you, do you try to gauge which one they're going to ask you about as they approach?
You can kind of tell. It happens so fast. I get the Seinfeld. The Star Trek is something that you can kind of see the Trekkies. And if you can listen to a Trekkie for a couple of minutes, you can tell what level of Trekkie, whether they're like super geek or whether they just at one point watched the show. The Gentle Bend used to be not the bane of my existence, but, you know, hey, where's the Bears? You double parked. Do you own the Bear, or is the Bear real? And I was like 8 years old, and I'm looking at these people. Are you an idiot? Look at that. Is that a guy in a bear suit? I don't think so.
Didn't the bear smell bad?
Yes.
He smelled bad. The bear smelled bad.
The bear ate prodigiously.
Oh, I bet.
He was
a bear.
You wanted him full.
Yeah. Well, he was a vegetarian.
Oh. Okay.
Well, the Hollywood bear, yeah.
Of course. They,
friends with Woody Harrelson.
I am seeing in my mind the bear in a hot tub and sunglasses reading his lines for the next day. Doing sides for the next day.
Telling everybody
having
he's a vegetarian.
Having kale salad for lunch.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, I know the Howards. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, what they did the very first time that I was introduced to the bear, and actually there were three bears, was they threw in a fresh piece of meat, a raw steak. And Bruno went over and smelled it, didn't have any interest in it. They threw in a box of donuts, and Bruno ate the donuts, like, within seconds. Along with that came instructions that this particular bear, although it will eat meat if it has to, the way we have trained it with – not trained it, the way we've raised it, it looks at you not as a meal, as a source of a meal. You know, where you can bring him donuts, or that's how they got the bear to follow me, is they would put a cookie in my pocket. Or wow. If they wanted the bear to kiss me, they would put a lifesaver in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that could go wrong.
The second trip down to the doctor's office to get the shot, I had
bear ate my face.
It was a wonderful experience, and getting to hang out with my dad, because he worked on the show. He played Henry Boomhauer. He was Dennis's sidekick in the show. And a small anecdotal thing is Dennis Weaver introduced my mom and dad to each other at the University of Oklahoma.
Oh.
Aww.
Very nice.
Yeah. They were there, and Dennis was a senior doing, like, advanced work, meaning getting a job as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And he was doing a film scene study class. And my mom and dad were both freshmen. And Dennis paired him up.
All right.
And the rest is history.
We're talking with Clint Howard, and he's part of the famous Horror Hound Gathering. You're not a big horror movie buff yourself, just in a lot of them.
I'm in a lot of them. I honestly wouldn't choose to go. The Exorcist was, to me, one of the all-time great movies that has ever been done.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say I'm a horror fan. I love it. And I'll tell you what, I went to the Horror Hounds in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. It's a real small, kind of family-oriented collection of people. And they so impressed me with their enthusiasm towards the horror genre that, I don't know, I just felt like that eventually I was going to come and be in another Horror Hound. And I was. And listen, I'm really enjoying it. One thing about the horror movie is I was doing an audition for a sitcom, classic Mary Tyler Moore-like sitcom. And I had gotten the job. And one of the well-heeled executive writers was looking at me. And he goes, I just saw you in something. It was Ticks. And I had to remind him, it's the insect, not the mammary gland. But I was feeling very confident. And this guy goes, yeah, you were in Ticks. And I went, Why did you watch it? And he gave the most succinct answer. He said, you know, horror films are a little like Mexican food. It's not the greatest thing in the world for you, but it's spicy, and every once in a while you want to have one. So every once in a while, him and his wife would cue up a horror film.
Yeah.
And I felt like that is the greatest, you know, analogy, the greatest way to describe horror. I think if you watch horror all the time, you got to screw loose.
Josh, you want to take this?
Well, I am a big horror fan, but as you guys know, I watch all movies. I watch all kinds of movies, so I'm not necessarily in that class of people that Clint's talking about.
Is this a democracy? Do we get to vote?
No, oh God, no.
No, I don't believe in democracy. No, we've already established that.
He's the czar.
Now, I do have screws loose. Now,
are you in every one of your brother Ron Howard's movies?
Oh, no, there's been a lot. Actually, the one that stopped the streak was Ransom. And then I wasn't in Beautiful Mind, and I wasn't in any of the Da Vinci Code movies.
Did that hurt your feelings?
Can I say it pisses me off?
Yeah, of course you can.
Sure.
Your honesty is wonderful and refreshing.
Yes.
Because if you were your brother, you'd put him in your movies.
Well, to a point.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a real quick question. If let's just say there's a this is kind of a Hitchcock story here, but let's just say he took a still photograph of you and put it like on a shelf in some random scene in the Da Vinci Code, and people would have to really be looking for it to see it. Would you as an actor have to get paid for being in the movie?
Yes.
Just, your likeness
just,
is
your
being
likeness is just on a bookshelf or something.
If I believe that it comes down basically as simple as if your trademarked presence is being used to make money, then they need to get clearance from you. Now, listen, Ron has a trademark. Cheryl, Ron's wife, has been in every movie that he's ever done. Now, there's been lots that I haven't been in. And some of it was recently he's been making movies over in Europe. And he just can't really afford to bring an actor, you know. Well, especially, listen, nowadays, they are cutting even people like Ron. They're cutting the cost of movies down to the bone.
Yes. Mm.
So it's rare that he has the opportunity to bring an actor to America. He always wants to work with me. We just had the opportunity to sort of rendezvous again. And it's fun. Listen, I remember Ron when he was, you know, 15 years old and I was 10. And he desperately wanted to be a filmmaker. And I just remember that drive that he had. And he wasn't screwing around. It wasn't like something that he could do on the side. It wasn't something that he was going to fully pot commit to being a film director.
Wow.
And I watched him. And, you know, listen, people don't remember this. He was opie.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine going through adolescence and puberty?
Nope.
High school basketball, playing on the other team's gym floor. When the game is tied and you're shooting free throws, what do you think the cheerleaders are cheering?
Mm-hmm. I've seen the interview with him, Dopey Opie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had this intestinal fortitude that it didn't show because he looks like Ron Howard. I mean, you know, he looks like Opie, for crying out loud. His son looked like Opie. He couldn't help it. But I'll tell you what, he had this intestinal fortitude that I think, you know, to this day drives him. I mean, not like a maniacal man, but, you know, he likes to get his pound back.
Did he call you when you weren't going to be, when the streak was going to be over? Did he call you and say, hey, by the way, Clint, I'm working on this film. There's not really a spot for you. And
Why are you asking him these questions?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you say
at Thanksgiving.
It was an awkward Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So, you Ron, say, I hear you're making a new movie. Hey, I guess my invitation.
Ron, pass the potatoes like you passed me up for a beautiful mind, you son of a bitch.
You're eating your turkey like you're eating my heart out.
I have a little more taste than you have.
Clearly.
There's a shot. Yeah.
No, I tell you what. He did. And it was Ransom. And it was just the fact that they were shooting in New York and there really wasn't anything in it for me. He didn't feel like it was right for me just to be FBI guy number four. And I agreed with him. Listen, he's always been the chief and I've been an Indian. And he's the director having to make decisions. Now, if I can help him, if I think I can help him, I'm going to lobby. But if he says, no, you just can't really help me out on this, I mean, I can still be irritated. And my mom always used to say, I had kind of a Teflon psyche growing up. I would let things bother me for a couple of days, and then it would just kind of roll off, and I would carry on. And there's been actually worse than getting that first conversation with Ron where he said, I don't think there's anything in it for me, because I knew eventually I was not going to be in some of his movies. It's when I felt like I had a pretty good part in a picture that he was making that they didn't want to hire me for. That irritates me because first and foremost, I love him. He's my brother. But I'm an actor and I'm competitive. And they don't see me playing that part. Are they frigging idiots?
Right.
You know, so that's the one that I held on to a little more than.
We're talking with Clint Howard, by the way. And I kind of caught part of a conversation off the air. You guys were talking about music and you're a big Cheap Trick fan. And as we are, they've been in the studio playing for us. You were in a band?
Oh, yeah.
What were they called?
We were Clint Howard and the Kempsters. And we played in
the
like.
The Kempsters?
Kempsters. K-E-M-P-S-T-E-R-S.
Huh.
It's a British slang expression for a warrior.
Oh.
I lived on Kemp Street. That's why we were called the Kempsters.
Oh, okay.
We practiced in the living room.
Oh, I bet Mom liked that.
Well, Mom wasn't around there. The neighbors didn't like it. I was the first guy in my kind of set of friends that had a house. And so it was like the Burbank Youth Center.
Okay.
We had the monitors set up in the living room. We dressed aside the dining room table.
Oh, sure.
The drums were right there.
Were you the singer?
Yes, I was the front man.
Did you write the songs?
Yes.
Any titles have come to mind?
Billy with a Clear Head.
I like that. Was this a was this of the
Billy
punk the punk
head,
genre? The
punk
new
pop? Not pop. Punk. Left-handed boy in a right-handed world. I don't care nothing. I don't care nothing. That's about me hitting a note there. It's mm-hmm. not the best idea.
I don't kill nothing? What was
no,
that?
I don't care.
I don't care, man.
I don't care nothing. Okay, so we've got some grammar issues.
Oh, geez.
Left-handed boy. Wait, hold on. Time out. Is this man going to talk to me about grammar?
Oh, yes.
30 years.
Yeah.
I've produced many albums.
Coming up next on the Bob and Tom Show, it's a skit from the Bob and Tom Players. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up next on the Bob and Tom Show.
From the Napa Auto Parts Studios, this is the Bob and Tom Show with a chance for you to win some Bob and Tom gear from the Bob and Tom Store. Dial #250 right now. You'll have the option to receive an auto-dialed text message from the Bob and Tom Show, then follow the link to register to win. Or go to bobandtom.com/contest to sign up to win. More of the Bob and Tom Show is next.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Napa Auto Parts Studios. This is Christopher speaking. This week, you're going to have more chances to win some Bob and Tom gear. Listen all this week for your chance to win Bob and Tom hats, T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. When you hear the cue to call, you dial #250, and when prompted, use the keyword Bob and Tom. Then you'll have the option to receive an auto-dialed text message from the Bob and Tom Show. You can also sign up to win by going to bobandtom.com/contest. Right now, a segment with the Bob and Tom Players here on the Bob and Tom Show.
We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios, and we have, I'm just a little off there because we have some special guests in the studio for doing sound effects. Once again, we are...
some Foley artists.
Well, they're very nice. We are...
Axel Foley.
Beverly Hills Cop is coming for you.
Very nice. We are going to try to do this script live. Once again, the background on this, there was a news story about a very interesting guy. He collects antique motorcycle parts, and he's a big fan of the Harley-Davidson motorcycle line, and he has released these bottles of liquor. They cost more than $1,000. His name is Uwe Ehringer. He's
Uwe Ehringer.
Uwe
Ehringer. It's called, the product is called Archaeologist Gin, and it comes with... vintage motorcycle engine parts inside the gin bottle. And he says that, by the way, they don't clink because the parts are fused into the bottle itself.
Uh-huh.
But they're very, very expensive. But they're genuine antique Harley-Davidson parts, and each bottle of gin has an explanation of what the part is and what motorcycle it's from. So,
collect them all. Build a bike.
There you go. That's
at $1,000.
At $1,000 a part. So that leads
I
us to
I need the
this.
One with the kickstand in it. I'm done.
I'm now, this, have to trade.
This script apparently has something to do with that. Now, I have not read it. So
None of us have.
I am portraying the French guy. Ed
You're
is
a
an,
bartender.
Ed is an American tourist.
Played by me,
in
Josh
Paris.
Online.
His girlfriend is
fiance, right?
Is Kim, yes. who would appear just from her second line, is a little bit of a...
She likes
the strange, does she?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
We haven't gotten past
All
that.
All right, so we begin with some French music, and we have... So we're in a bar, so...
Order up!
You know, Kim,
it's in French, you idiot.
La, order up!
I'm trying to act!
Be pleased, feel free to begin.
I apologize.
You know, I can't believe we finally made it to Paris, France, Kim. I find it such a beautiful city with... Apparently everybody in here has palsy of some sort, because...
All I hear is,
But anyway, you look beautiful, and I'm happy to be here with you.
Aw, this is the vacation of my dreams, Ed. I love you so much.
I love you too, Kim. This bar is pretty classy, huh?
Oh, yeah. A little loud, but well, man, that bartender's cute.
I like to bang him.
Yeah. It's your line.
Bonjour.
Son of a bitch.
Bonjour. Oh,
bonjour.
Mm-hmm.
No, that bonjour really nailed it, though. Sit back and reflect in it for a little while, will you? Jesus.
What would you like?
I think we're going to need a minute here.
Americans, eh? Then I have just the thing for you. You have no doubt heard about the Harley-Davidson-infused gin.
Oh, sure. Those are the bottles of gin with actual Harley-Davidson parts in the bottle. That sounds so cool.
Yes, we heard about it moments ago during the setup.
What happened? Could the band play a different number, please? Oh, this sounds good.
Oh.
Wasn't this on Joe Walsh's last album?
Apparently the band is on repeat.
It is I, your bartender, Maurice.
Is there a cow in here?
You're supposed to be the announcer. Be quiet.
It's slide whistle night.
It is I, your bartender, Maurice Chevalier-Anus.
Yes. Nice to meet you, Maurice.
So, you tell me there is a gin with actual Harley-Davidson parts in the bottle.
Yes.
We have something very similar here. It's how you say the French version. From our famous car company, Peugeot.
The Peugeot, oh. Yes.
How about if I piston you?
I beg your pardon? How dare you speak to my fiancé like that?
Hang on a second. It doesn't say, how about if I pissed in you?
How about if I piston you?
How about if I piston you?
Piston. Did I believe it is to be done with a French accent?
Yes, we have something similar to the Harley-Davidson gin parts in the bottle of Harley-Davidson oil.
Yes, yes.
It is how you say the French version from our most famous car company, Peugeot.
Oh.
How about if I pissed on you?
What?
Not pissed on you!
Your emphasis is on the wrong syllable.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse
and there's
me.
No D in there.
Excuse me.
Piston.
Pistol.
How about if I pissed on you?
Oh, jeez.
How are you taking criticism and making it worse? How are you doing that?
Why can't you just read
just
it?
Say piston. Just
piston.
Say piston.
I pissed on you.
How about if I pissed on you?
Yes. I beg your pardon? Maurice, how dare you speak to my fiancé like that?
Honey, let's hear him out.
What?
I'm sorry to
now
say.
Now she wants a golden shower.
I'm sorry to say if my English is not so good. What I am trying to say is I want to piss on your lovely France. I'm sorry.
Yes?
Sorry.
What?
I excuse me.
Pissed on your lovely France? What did that even mean?
Excusez-moi.
Pissed on your lovely France?
Next time, please convert this to Helvetic immediately.
Yeah, he's got a fiancé.
In his defense,
this is Le Times New Roman. I cannot read it.
Yeah, this is really, it's so small.
A tiny print.
I'm sorry, my English is not so good. What I am trying to say is that I want to piston your... Oh, I see.
Piston your lovely...
I want to piston your lovely fiancé. And I want to piston you too, sir.
What?
I knew this was going to be a dream vacation.
Pardonnez-moi.
Good Lord.
I am not clear with my words. Please, deep-voiced American announcer man, explain why they will be getting pissed on.
That's not what that says.
Following the success of Harley-Davidson infused gin, the French have released their very own special beverage. It's a flavorful hard lemonade infused with parts of classic Peugeot cars, but not just any parts, the very heart of the engines, the pistons. So for 2,000 euros, a bottle you can... For 2,000 euros, a bottle... Or 2,000 euros.
Yes.
Yes.
For 2,000 euros a bottle, you
so
idiot.
So for 2,000 euros a bottle, you can enjoy a Peugeot Piston Hard Lemonade. These guys are whizzes at making good lemonade.
I've got some stage.
We're halfway done on a Monday Bob and Tom summer vacation show. Coming up next hour, comedians Bill Burr and Jimmy Schubert from 2009. Also, bassoon repairmen. Didn't know there were any. But coming up next, Ace Cosby's Rules to Live By. You're going to hear that next hour here on The Bob and Tom Show. Bob and Tom. We're back in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Hope you're having a great Monday morning. This is Christopher speaking. This is The Bob and Tom Summer Vacation Show. They'll be back next Monday. Right now, a pretty interesting segment. This should be very interesting. Engineer Ace Cosby and his Rules to Live By.
here on The Bob and Tom Show.
Hello, this is The Bob and Tom Show. Good morning.
With us in the studio, Ace Cosby. Ace is a man about town, never been married, a bachelor for some 30-plus years. And Ace, you're wearing the cologne today. May I ask what it is?
Yope.
It's called Yope, or you're saying, is that some hipster term for yes?
Is this a,
that's yo.
Is this an urban thing? Like you know,
yo.
Cold 45 or?
What is it now?
J-O-O-P.
J-O-O-P.
Yes.
Not Yope.
I thought it was you.
That'd be Jupe, wouldn't it be?
Jupe.
I was told it's pronounced Yope.
I thought it was Jew, and the P is silent. Isn't that right, Bob?
You
remember you and I Gibson? Went to the Jew trunk sale, didn't we?
Jupe.
Wasn't me.
Jupe.
With a P.
Yope.
But it's pronounced Yoop.
That's what I was told when it was given to me, like 1989.
So. 1989?
That's when you got the bottle?
Yeah.
And you're still wearing it?
I think it's...
I rotate.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
oh, wow.
I've got paper and pencil. Go ahead. What do we rotate?
Mm-hmm. So another bottle of High Karate. You got a 74.
What do we wear here? However that's pronounced.
You know what? I do have a... What was it? What's that?
Brute?
Company that used to come to your door.
Avon.
I have a bottle of Avon that my mom gave me like when I was a teenager. It was in a decanter that was a shoe, which I thought was
still,
cool.
You still have it?
I still have it. I don't wear it, but I have it.
Do you keep it on your bureau?
No, it's in the closet. But.
On your bureau?
which bureau are you referring to?
Is that his news bureau or his sports bureau? Which way?
Do you not have a bureau in your bedroom?
Most men, I have a dresser.
You know, I don't even try anymore.
I know. You have a bureau?
It's a bureau.
I don't have a bureau.
It's not a dresser.
You have
it's
a chiffonier. Chiffonier in the hallway. Or...
Perhaps you lost your cell phone on the Davenport.
What's a chiffonier? You bring that up a lot.
I'm just kidding.
It's where you keep the highball mix.
What is a chiffonier? Seriously.
It's a piece of furniture. I want to get back to the Jupe. Oh. The Jupe.
It's a gift from an ex-girlfriend.
An ex-girlfriend.
Well, I have a closet, and one of the shelf is all cologne. I don't buy cologne. It's kind of a rule of mine. I don't buy cologne.
Oh, here's a rule. Ace's rules
Ace
to live
by. Ace lives by a rule.
I have rules.
And now Ace's rules to live by.
Okay.
Here's Ace.
I don't buy cologne.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Or socks.
Okay, I can get the first one I get because your lady friends, I guess, would buy you cologne. Although I would think then that implies there's an odor issue.
See, it's the old West, bureau and lady friends.
Let's get to the underwear.
Pantaloons.
Why don't you buy your own underwear?
I think when you're young, your mom buys your underwear and socks.
Your mom still buys your underwear and socks?
No. If I was dating somebody, I might mention that. They'll buy me socks, and I know they like me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Ace.
Jeez, that's sick.
Who's been one of your best friends?
Time now for...
I have. We need to sit down.
Ace Cosby and...
Rules
Ace.
To live by.
Rules to live by.
Freak me, baby.
Freak me, baby.
You know, we should do a...
All right.
Okay, this you can get that audio turd off the
airwaves.
Well, sure, it's not Old West music. You wouldn't like it.
But maybe we should have Ace do a special rap about the way he lives.
What other rules do you live by?
Does it have to be rap?
I have
a few, but they don't come to mind right now. When I lived at Vantage Point, if a girl came over, she had to bring a case of beer and a family pack of Church's fried chicken.
This has been Ace Rules to Live By.
Ace, couldn't you just at least have faked it and not said fried chicken?
Is that what it said? Now
is
it say that in the personals of Nuvo?
Single
beer,
black man on the
chicken.
Make looking for chicken and a six pack.
Ace.
Now, please don't reinforce. Excuse me, I'm going to beg you not to reinforce any stereotypes.
All right.
By suggesting a brand of beer or
thank you.
And or malt liquor.
Thank you.
Let's just move forward.
And now here's Ace with rules he lives by. Your host, ladies and gentlemen, Ace Cosby.
You don't buy no underwear. So do your girlfriends buy you underwear?
Well, I haven't had a girlfriend in a while, so I...
Oh, boy.
You need new underwear.
maybe it's the lack of underwear.
The phone lines are open.
No, they're not.
Should I buy you some underwear at being just a friend of yours?
Well, be sure to bring beer and chicken.
It's been so long.
Underwear is very personal. Do you go with a
boxer brief?
The boxer brief? What do you kind of... If you do get some, what do you favor?
See, Ace is...
I do like boxer briefs.
Ace is still out there. He's not...
you got to go boxer brief when you get to my age because, you know, you got to keep your junk close. Because it's,
well, I do too.
Waving all around.
Sagging
what?
All around.
That's more information than I needed.
Dunking in the toilet.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I can't wear boxes because they...
The flappage.
Oh, I know.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's
you're preaching to the choir now. Yeah. Yeah.
Mine's really a testicle problem.
Ace Cosby's new cologne, Dangler. Dangler from Ace Cosby.
Mamba.
Again, wow. Again, no racial component.
Thank you.
Please.
Black Mamba, it's a snake.
I know it is, but I... So, Ace, I can't imagine the conversation where after the first date you go, hello, why don't you
I could use some underwear, and socks, yeah.
I don't think you'd do that on the first date.
Well, I would if you were out of underwear. You can't wait around.
Do you do your own laundry?
Uh-huh. Yes.
You do?
Of course he does.
Well, you must be hell on your underwear.
How do you feel about that where we're all you're obsessed with white laundry? How do you feel about that? Are you upset by that?
Will you shut up?
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. Could I possibly do the interview and could sure. you shut up?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Ace. We're getting back to your personal life. Do you have family members in town?
Yes.
Who are they?
Who are they? We're getting too personal here.
I think he has.
I'm just asking if you have...
Ace doesn't talk about his personal life.
Possibly
like
a brother or a sister.
Again, mm-hmm. I would ask you to be quiet over there.
I don't cut the grass on the weekend. That's a rule.
You don't cut the grass on the weekends?
No.
I don't either. I have a guy do it for me.
My God.
And
as a matter of fact, I think it's
you.
That's why he doesn't cut your grass, because he's cutting your grass.
I don't cut the grass at all. I don't have any grass.
You really? Have a, what
Ace
do you
can
mean
get
you don't
yourself.
Have any grass?
Huh?
Ace can get you some grass,
can
man.
He?
Yeah.
Ace is not a drug guy.
All that land
Ace
you have
not a
there,
drug
Bob,
guy.
You have no grass
no
to cut?
Grass. No grass. That's the way it works. No grass.
Now, Ace. So,
the time if you're like, let's say we're on a third date, small talking. Mm-hmm. You go, things are going well. You know, I really know a girl likes me if she buys me socks.
Mm-hmm.
The next time,
then
I see
do you specify shoe size and color that you like, or
are there different sizes of socks?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but there's different brands of socks.
There are sizes of socks too.
I like the gold toe myself. Well,
I do too. Those are good.
Those are good socks.
Do you like to wear white socks or dark socks?
Mostly white. Occasionally gray.
Okay. But I'm very picky about
my socks.
I
had a girl give me gold tops a couple years ago.
And you got rid of her?
Yeah, I had a girl give me crabs a couple years ago. You don't hear me talking about it.
It's the quality of the sock.
So you're very picky about your socks, Tom? What brand of socks do you buy?
This kind right here.
This kind. Thanks. That's very helpful.
You wear anklets?
No, you wear those. You wear smart socks, right?
Yeah, the ones.
They're gray socks. They're gray.
That's all I wear.
Like my outlook, gray.
But really? I wouldn't want to have someone buy them for me. They'd be too confusing. I wouldn't like them, and they'd just sit in a drawer forever. But underwear,
why?
I'm very specific. Well, underwear has to be exactly the same kind.
Are we going to let that go? How can a pair of socks as a gift be confusing?
Well, can someone help me? Is it just me? I'm the first to admit, 9 out of 10 times, I'm the one.
Yeah.
But in this case.
Well, everything was fine until she got me some socks.
Deal breaker.
Oh, my God. I was confused.
But underwear is very specific. I've got to have a very specific type.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes you discover new brands that you might not have.
Tried otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, I just shifted. I got to be honest with you. I shifted about 2 years ago.
Kind of a low-rise mesh thing now.
Full throw pouch.
Full throw the pouch out. The pouch
what
right out there.
What does a full throw pouch mean?
That means you need more room in that area. Yeah, you got to throw it out there.
It's like say an SUV versus a compact.
I need elastic.
I got to need something to haul the mail.
Oh,
you know. Ace, it's always fascinating talking to you.
That it is.
You always have interesting things going on in your life.
So, ladies, Hanes.
Hanes underwear?
Hanes. Got to be Hanes.
You need the girl before socks. You worry about the underwear.
Well, that's true.
Do you wear white underwear?
Well, remember, I had band jackets before I had a band. So.
That's true, you did.
Do you wear white underwear or gray or something?
I have some gray, some blue, some black.
Blue?
Some tidy whities.
Did he just call us whitey?
Called you tidy whitey.
I was trying to get him to say.
Here,
you know, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if you paid attention to the program.
Just about, he told me to shut up.
Oh well,
I did.
Can we do it again?
So you do your own laundry then?
Yes. And Christine, to answer your question, I have a drawer with a few bags of socks
I've stockpiled over the years.
Oh, okay.
A few bags of socks.
I would like to get a look at that. There any way I can come over?
Ace's house one day this week.
Yes, let's go to Ace's house.
Could we broadcast from Ace's house?
I don't know why not.
He's got a cat.
He's what?
He's got a cat.
He's a cat.
Oh, I can't go.
I'll go.
I'll put her in a room.
And you're in a house now, not an apartment anymore.
He owns his own home.
He owns a home.
That's
the man's a hardworking
I didn't deny
guy.
It.
What, do you look at him and still think he's 23?
You might
what
as well just told Tom that you can record one program and watch another. Ace owns his own home. What? Well, they must have really relaxed the loan qualification.
With the help of HUD.
We're in all my life.
God.
Martha, did you hear that? They own property now.
There is a Popeyes on the corner.
Oh, well, handy. I like that.
So you are do you cook?
I love to cook.
Oh, there you go.
You know, most guys, they have ESPN on all the time in the house. I have Food Network.
You know what he does that you absolutely hate?
Uh-oh. What's that?
Oh, boy.
Ace can literally go to the grocery store, get a whole week's worth of groceries, and with his coupons, pay what, $5?
I love the coupon shop. It's beating the man.
Oh, my God.
Sticking it to the man. That's right, Ace.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and you know who the man
he
is.
Loves to
that guy.
No, he is it down to his science.
I love that commercial. What is that for, the cell phone thing? And the guy's going, it's a big important guy. It's my way of sticking it to the man. And the guy goes, aren't you the man? He goes, oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I guess so.
More of the Bob and Tom Show coming up in just a few minutes on this Monday. Right now, Tom and Chick and a message from Napa regarding the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund.
Hi, this is Tom.
And this is Chick from the Bob and Tom Show.
Napa is helping the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund raise money to assist military personnel suffering from traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress.
To learn more about the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and all the ways to help, visit your local Napa Auto Parts store.
You can also help our military personnel and their families receive the care they need by going to NapaOnline.com. All proceeds go to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. We had a chance to speak with David Winters, president of the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund.
Tell us just in general, what is the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund?
We're a nonprofit organization that serves United States military personnel experiencing the invisible wounds of war, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress. So we're building a series of 10 specially designed treatment facilities called Intrepid Spirit Centers at military bases across the country where these service members can receive the most advanced and proven care to address those injuries.
Now, I know our friends at Napa Auto Parts have been a big help toward keeping this fund up and running. Once again, it's the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund.
Absolutely. We never, never can forget the sacrifices these men and women have made. And you mentioned Napa Auto Parts. They have been partners with us since 2012, and they have raised, through their generosity, the generosity of their store owners, their suppliers, and most importantly, their customers, they've provided over $7.5 million to our programming, which is really, really amazing.
Napa is a huge supporter of the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, and throughout the year, they've raised money to assist military personnel and their families.
If you want to learn more about the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and all the ways that Napa helps, visit your local Napa Auto Parts store or go online to NapaOnline.com.
Later this hour, comedians Bill Burr and Jimmy Schubert from 2009. But next, we're going to talk bassoon repairmen. Should be great. It's next year on the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Napa Auto Parts Studio. This is Christopher speaking. The cast is out on vacation this week, but we've got more fun continuing in just a few minutes. Hey, don't forget about the Bob and Tom store. Coming soon, a brand new Bob and Tom t-shirt. You're going to want to check that out. But you can always get the Bob and Tom Collision Classic logo t-shirt, the Christy Lee Uninterrupted shirts, the new Bob and Tom camo hat, and lots more tumblers, koozies, openers, bumper stickers, lots of stuff. Check it out right now at Bob and Tom Store. .com. Right now, a segment about, of all things, bassoon repairmen and machetes?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Is that there a Q-tip goes. Or is that your tongue?
There you go.
If you can't tell the difference.
You really know how to sweet talk the ladies, don't you?
Oh, so you could be
detailing your bassoon. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show.
That's relatable.
I just ran into my friend who's the world-renowned bassoon repairman.
Oh, come on.
How do you have one of those? How?
Who cares, and so what?
Hey, I just ran into my buddy. He's
You are the weirdest person on the planet.
Does he have a pager?
That, right?
If you Google bassoon repairman worldwide, he's the guy.
Well, how many are
there? All right,
there?
I'm doing it.
Man, I don't care.
How many are there? Four?
I think he's really the man. He was with a woman who'd flown in with her bassoon from Australia. You know what a good bassoon costs? Are you kidding me?
Once again, I don't care.
Really?
Don't care.
You don't like a good bassoon solo?
Is his name Keith?
That you're on the wrong Google.
All I see is Keith, too.
Thanks.
So tell your friend to work harder.
You obviously went to Goggle as opposed to Google.
Is it Chad?
No, it's Paul.
He doesn't even show up.
No, Paul.
He's a nobody in the bassoon world, apparently.
Did you spell bassoon right?
Why do you say it like that? Bassoon.
Bassoon.
No.
How do you say it?
Bassoon.
Bassoon, okay.
Just what he said.
No.
His name is Paul?
Yeah, Paul Norby.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry, because I said Norby, and you didn't say anything. That is the first one that comes up.
I told you, worldwide. Yeah. I ran into him. He's having lunch at this restaurant, and there's
This
lady has come in from Australia. Can you imagine flying from Australia just to have your bassoon repaired? That's amazing.
Why didn't you just mail the bassoon?
Yeah, no joke.
She didn't have to arrive.
You think you'd throw a bassoon in the mail? You'd have to put it in like one of those ski cases.
Still got to be cheaper than flying you and the bassoon.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe they probably don't have a lot of
people. A ski case?
Oh, I see. You're saying.
People they can talk to.
And her and Paul probably.
No, not at all. I'm just saying. Okay. When you're a bassoon repairman.
I owe Paul an apology. I am sorry,
In
sir.
The last just over a minute, here's what you said that no one can relate to. Bassoon. Or is you bassoon?
Bassoon.
Or bassoon.
Right.
Bassoon. It's a bassoon. Yeah.
Bassoon repairman,
mm-hmm.
Ski case.
Hey, you know those hard cases you put your skis in to travel. You throw a bassoon on one of them. Would you ship a? Bassoon can cost six figures.
What?
I'm going.
No.
Sure.
$100,000.
If you buy the first bassoon, maybe.
$100,000 for a bassoon.
Easy.
Created.
Easy.
Oh, come on.
You want a good one or do you want a cheap
one? I'm going to say how much a bassoon costs on Amazon
six-figure bassoon.
You're going to get a Kmart bassoon.
Everybody who's in this conversation hates you right now.
Bassoon or bassoon?
It's a bassoon. His uptown accent is
Isn't that
out.
A great name, though, for this thing?
No.
It's a silly-sounding name.
Prices range from $3,000 to $30,000.
That's for the cheap ones.
For the most in-demand professional instruments. Okay,
well, really?
You know how much a good cello can cost?
Oh, my God.
$3 million. Yeah, is that what you're going to tell us?
Yo-Yo Ma's playing it.
This is a bassoon. You like it?
At least you said it.
Morning, sports fans!
Isn't that a great sound?
No, I'll
go so far as it's objectionable.
I had to sit next to the bassoon player in band, and it was, not worth it.
Oh, I always love when somebody else in band judges another person.
So
that's all we do.
Talk about a nerd.
Now, see, Grace, I don't want to get personal here, but I mean, if someone is a quality bassoon player, I assume their ability.
They have good lungs, and they would be.
Well, their fingering skills. Extraordinary, yeah. What do you mean, Ned?
After listening to him, because as I was first chair flautist in my band, thank you, and had to sit
next like
to
a great
him.
Flautist.
Yeah, but he was not good.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
$100,000.
I see. The highest one I can find is $31,295.50.
Yeah, it's
probably and that one's gold plated. Here's the guy who crapped in your bassoon, Charlie.
I'm just saying, Christy, if you get the cheap bassoon, you get the $30K one, get the extended warranty. That's all I'm saying.
When's the last time you purchased a musical instrument?
I bought a guitar 6 weeks ago. I bought another guitar.
Okay.
Does that count?
Yes, it counts.
Now, why are you saying that? Your dad buys new trumpets every time I walk into it.
Six figures for a trumpet. He bought a new horn from England. For less than six figures.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Less than five.
Less than six. So it was less than $100,000. What a steal. I
can't believe I'm can't dealing with
What do you mean? You can't get a good bassoon for less than $100,000?
No. In your world,
I'm just saying the go-to bassoon guy is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
If you're listening right now and thinking your bassoon needed to be fixed.
Tom's got the guy.
Yeah.
I've got the guy.
I would like to meet a friend of yours that doesn't get a paycheck or is truly a friend.
Oh, I have plenty of actual friends. I would just never associate them with any of you.
I appreciate that, especially if you want to talk about bassoon repair over lunch. We all thank you.
What are you
for
good
that
at fixing? Anything?
Me? Yeah, I'm good at drinks fixing stuff.
Thank you, Christy. Sometimes you throw a slow pitch. You figure guaranteed home run. Christy steps to the plate.
He does make a good drink.
Why wouldn't he?
Oh my God!
That's very offensive.
Sorry. Would you
I'm
like
glad
to
so
more?
Well everyone knows so every each other so well in this room.
Would you like to hear some more bassoon music?
No, thank you.
Mm-mm, sorry. In any event, we'll move on. Christy Lee is at the. Oh, you know what I want to find out about?
Oh God!
You teased the story about the stab proof vest.
Yeah.
How'd
that's
what
I was
out
getting ready to.
Oh, good.
You might want to order one of those.
Yeah, we'll order the knives.
Yeah.
Oh, we can have a knife throwing contest.
I have a machete in my car.
What?
Right now, you have a machete in your car.
In your car right now.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Are you taking it to get it sharpened? Because you said that it didn't really.
Yeah, it's not.
Do you have the world's foremost machete sharpener on speed dial?
Well, wait a minute. Did you only get the $40,000 machete? Tom, everybody knows a good machete is $160,000.
Where do you take
it? Here we go. Wait.
Take it this is a bassoon somewhere.
Eventually.
In there.
That's fine. There's also 18 other instruments. That's just
like
a symphony.
It sounds like a car wreck. Please participate in our poll on Twitter. The question is, have you ever heard of a bassoon? So far, 82% have.
Sure, yeah, I at least heard of it.
And I voted no.
I do know of.
Would you like me to sing the bass line from March Militaire on the bass clarinet?
Yes, I would. Don't worry, everybody. Only 7 more minutes.
That's brilliant. It's unbelievable.
That's just the bass
line.
That's
like there's a bass
that's
clarinet
for the
in
first
here
chair bass clarinet.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, Christy.
Is that your way of telling us you played bass? You
no.
First
could
chair
we
bass
could we move on to the stab-proof vest, please?
A 22-year-old in the UK died after stabbing himself in the chest.
Wait, the guy's dead.
Hmm?
All right. Yeah, we'll ring a lot of comedy out
to there see if his vest was in fact.
Remember, no matter how hard remember we're laughing, the guy is dead. Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
See if the
how
vest
is
was
this
stab-proof
my fault? What
you
happened
brought
now
it to our attention. An inquest into the man's death revealed that Jordan Easton was at a friend's house and said.
The late.
The yes. Jordan, we'll refer to him as the decedent.
Yeah, the stabbed to death, Jordan Easton.
Here's the thing. We could have just as easily not done this story.
No, but this is like that same idiot that had his girlfriend shoot him through a phone book. Because you say cause
another
you
wa- incredibly sad
and
story.
She's on trial for that.
Well, good. They're both morons, and he's
and
a dead moron.
Wasn't she
it's his
or
own
something
fault.
I thought she
yes,
was.
Yes, oh, everything about it's perfect. The guy's an idiot, and it's because he wants to be on YouTube.
Yeah, but that poor kid doesn't have a chance.
All right, so this guy said.
An inquest into the man's death revealed Jordan Easton was at a buddy's house, said he was wearing a, quote, stab-proof vest. According to Teesside Assistant Coroner Karen Welsh,
news
Easton,
is, comes first. Oh, no.
She's the coroner, you
this
moron
is in the UK. Easton took a knife from the kitchen and drove it into his chest. He died at the hospital in North Tess. The assistant.
Look at him. He's truly enjoying it. His head's turning red. He's laughing as hard as he's ever laughed.
Guy's an idiot.
The assistant coroner recorded a verdict of misadventure. That's an English term, isn't it?
Yes, very
he
much
died
so.
Adventure. Misadventure.
I love that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's on the
I'm being told
death
by
certificate
my
of Brian Jones of the Rolling Stone.
Being told by my nerd friend, Mike. Morning, Mike. He hates to admit it, but Tom's friend, the bassoon repairman, was his band teacher.
Yes, he's a great
guy.
And
he's an incredible guy.
He's a great guy.
Thank you, Mike.
But he's the number one bassoon guy. If anyone listening thinking, I can't get my bassoon fixed, we got the guy for
it's
you.
It's bassoon, yeah. Not bassoon.
Yeah.
Well, depends what hemisphere you're in.
Oh my God. What he meant by that was
now
you're all beneath
what caste system?
Right.
Yeah.
But, exactly.
For those of you in steerage,
yes. I have a question. Do they use the bassoon in the marching
band?
No,
it's not in the marching band.
No, it's not. Not regularly.
That's a double reed instrument, so yeah. It's brutal to play those. But in the marching band, no.
No, the only reed instruments that march are clarinets and saxophones.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, good. That'd be really a bear. You have to, like, a wheel for the thing.
Remember the Woody Allen movie where he played the cello in the marching band?
Yeah, he has to keep catching up to the band.
He had to keep getting up and moving his chair.
Yeah, that sounds funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Let's get back hilarious. To the city stabbing himself in the chest while wearing the stab-proof vest. Wouldn't you just take the vest and, you know, maybe, I don't know, put it around a basketball and try that before you rub a...
You would, ideally, yes.
Yeah, well, and I do have a machete in my car right now.
Yeah,
where do you take a machete to have it?
You bring that machete in here, I'm going to cut your head off. How about that?
And then I'm not bringing it in.
Do you have it in to cut the blind spot out of here? Because I've seen you do that on a few occasions.
That's
a blind
why you
spot.
Brought it in.
Yeah.
I thought you said it's not cutting.
I know. That's I've got to go get it. I've got
to. Where do you take it to get it sharpened?
I don't know. Not to my buddy Paul, who's fixing bassoons.
Maybe the bassoon repairman could branch out and
so wait a minute.
Maybe he's
knife.
Got a machete.
Sometime soon. Outside of the studio,
yes.
You're going to be hacking away.
Yes. At the end of the driveway.
Have you never seen this?
Oh, I would. Somebody alert me when this happens.
We're going to have to get lawn chairs and a grill.
I think there's video of this somewhere.
There's another place where it comes out of the woods over here where it's a terrible, dangerous turn.
Right.
And so I'll get up early on a Sunday morning, wait for the sun to rise, and go out there with my thing and hack away. And
will you please? Can we? You got to wear a pith helmet when you do it,
okay.
And then
I don't know
there's
a pith helmet.
There's a road right there, sort of like break through, and when there are cars passing, look totally surprised,
like I'm emerging from the jungle. Yeah, yes. I had no idea civilization was here.
You found civilization.
I haven't eaten for weeks. Does anyone have a bassoon and a sailboat?
You said it correctly then.
Yeah.
Bassoon.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
I got it. Okay, there you go. In any event, so I'm sorry about the kid that died with the vest on.
No, you're not. No, you're
fault.
Not.
It's his own fault. What was his last thought? Whoops, wrong vest?
Maybe, yeah.
Nope, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm. I guess I shouldn't believe all advertisements.
Yeah. Was it advertised as being stab-proof?
I don't know.
I hope he gave it a very poor review on Amazon.
I don't think he
had
time.
Yes.
His dying words, none out of 5 stars.
Maybe his dying words were, well, I'm glad I didn't try the bulletproof helmet.
Wrong.
Got another teen in the news, but this one at least lives.
Okay.
What happened?
No matter how you turn that USB cable, it's not going to fit. A 13-year-old boy had a smartphone cable removed from his penis after it became knotted in his bladder.
Oh, my God. That's like tying a cherry stem with your tongue. How do you knot a cord in your bladder?
An unnamed teen.
Why do you put it in there?
Had his parents show up at the hospital in China's Heilongjiang province.
Did it say what kind of cable? Was it USB?
Yes, I said that.
Well, then it's last year's cable. This guy's no wonder. Got to get the lightning cord.
After
it's
the 7.8-inch long USB cable he inserted into his penis
USB
became stuck.
On one end, man. Lightning on the other.
You put the lightning in. If you're going to cram this thing up your way.
Maybe not. Maybe he likes the bigger end. He likes the USB end.
According to Dr. Juan Lian, the boy cut off one end of the cable before inserting it into his
penis. Oh, okay.
So there was nothing at the bottom.
Oh, well.
That almost sounds reasonable.
The teen reportedly said he was, quote-unquote, curious about his genitalia. Doctors successfully removed the cable by surgically cutting the tangled cable and removing it through the urethra. We all went through that phase.
This is why we need comprehensive sex education in American schools.
How old is he, though? 17?
13.
Oh, okay.
Well, the good thing is he's now back up to 98%.
Ah.
So that's good, yeah.
Recharged.
He's charging his penis.
Right.
It's a whole new definition of shock it up.
Yeah, baby.
What does shock it up mean?
It's like it's a sex thing. I don't know.
The shocker?
Yeah. Isn't that what it is?
So before somebody uses the shocker,
they're supposed to say they go, shock it up.
I'm about to shock it up.
That's another reference to high school. It would be because we were the Bulldogs, and they would say, "Where are my dogs at?" And the rest of the crowd would say, "Shock it up," and do the...
And hold up the shocker. Shocker.
That's right. We got a lot away with a lot. The spirit section at my school now is called the Bone Zone. I don't know who let that happen.
The Bone Zone?
Yeah.
Wow, we used to call it dog bones. Dogs like bones.
Yeah.
And we used to call that the trombone section in the band.
No, those are the boners.
Well.
The show continues next with a very funny segment from 2009 with comedians Bill Burr and Jimmy Schubert. You don't want to miss it. It's next here on the Bob and Tom Show. We're back in the Napa Auto Parts Studios for a Monday. This is Christopher on the Bob and Tom Show and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network. All this week, highlights and laughs from the Bob and Tom Show Comedy Archives. As the cast is out on summer vacation, they'll be back next Monday. Right now, a very funny segment from 2009 with comedians Bill Burr and Jimmy Schubert.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, hi. Thanks very much for joining us. With us in the studio, comedian Jimmy Schubert is here with us. He has recently been in Afghanistan with Drew Carey. Part of that's documented in his new DVD, Alive and Kicking, featuring stand-up comedy and a little bit of entertaining for the troops. Also with us in the studio, Bill Burr. We were catching up on Bill's personal life from Boston. Fairly big family. How many?
Six.
Now you, yeah. Jimmy Schubert, you were one of six boys. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm
any,
a real.
Any
I'm,
girls in the?
Mix? No girls. No girls.
Now, just, your situation, Bill. Huh? What was that?
Five boys and a girl.
Okay, so it's just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But your dad was a dentist, as opposed to Jimmy. Your dad was a cop. We were talking about your personal life. You've got a beautiful young girlfriend that you're very happy with.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to see her heavy with child. And she does not concur.
You know, if I never want to have a kid, that's how I should describe it to her.
I want you
heavy with a child.
Yeah, because that would turn her off.
Let me.
I want you face down in a pile of donuts, sweetheart, waiting to have.
Sorry,
my baby.
I didn't word that. Didn't word that well.
I just want to artificially inseminate somebody really bad. I see a tray of ice cubes and a.
Yeah. No. Do you mind if I? Have you had the professionally vasectomy?
Vasectomy?
No, I have not.
Okay.
No,
but
so
you're not writing off the possibility down the road there'll be a little Jimmy.
What are you kidding me? I'm Irish Catholic. I'll stoop you without a condom on. You know what I'm saying? Not because I want to, because that's what the Pope says. The Pope says don't use them. I'm with them.
Condoms. Oh,
well, there you go. Huh?
Well, let's see. What else is new in your life, Bill? You did your Comedy Central special. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I've written a new hour of stand-up, and I've just been putting that together and hopefully getting ready to tape another DVD at the end of this year.
Hmm.
That's the game plan. And going to all the spots around the country, all the places I like to go to, Columbus being one of them.
Now, in the summertime, do you get a chance? Do you plan your touring schedule around sporting events? Do you try to go? So I know you're going to see some hockey this week.
Yeah, because if you don't, it's just like one cheesecake factory after another. And there's only so long you can watch those people, their faces pressed against the glass.
Yeah.
You put cookies in that one. It wasn't fattening enough with just the cake. You had to add another dessert in there, you psycho. They're really trying to kill people over there.
Yeah.
I don't know what their deal is.
But you know something, every once in a while.
It's good food.
I love how they word it, though, when you go to a restaurant. Would you care for some dessert? What do you mean care for? Like open up a viable, emotional place for it in my life and take care of it and support it when it goes. Why don't you just say what you mean? You still hungry? We have pie. Huh? Think you could choke that on 900 calories on top of the two entrees you already ate?
I don't think so.
Well, now, you guys do a lot of restaurant eating, obviously. You're on the road all the time.
I try to go to mom and pop places. I'm not a big chain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like you walking to those chain places. They make you do half the work.
Yeah.
Like, let me get a turkey sandwich, lettuce, tomato on rye with mayonnaise. And the guy's like, all right, turkey sandwich, lettuce, tomato on rye. I go, yeah, and mayonnaise. And he goes, oh, the mayonnaise is it's right over there.
Uh-huh.
It's like, really? Well, then why don't you go over there and put it on my sandwich? Okay? I don't work here.
Uh-huh.
Get that?
That's right.
I'm on this side of the register. Guy
Hello?
Who orders sandwich, guy who makes sandwich. I'm sorry they fired the mayonnaise guy, but I'm not doing it. You know, I give you 100% of the money to make 100% of the sandwich. It's not like a relay race. You make half of it, and you pass it off to me, and I throw a pickle on it, frisbee it over to my mom. No, they do that like everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Airline flights. Mm-hmm. If you use the blanket, if you could just fold it up, help expedite the cleaning of the... No! I did my job. I said a prayer during takeoff and landing that we wouldn't crash. I didn't try to open the cockpit door. I'm done.
Now, are you the guy that doesn't return the tray then?
What tray?
No, I don't.
In the restaurants where they have trays and you're supposed to...
I don't, because all you're doing is you just...
You're working.
You're taking...
You're now a busboy.
Another guy's job, mm-hmm. who then could go on to write jokes, mm-hmm. and take my job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's like those automated lines at the grocery store.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and people try to act like that's like a technological advancement. It's like, no, it isn't. That's just me doing the job. People are like, it's easier. It's like, how is it easier than just standing there doing nothing while two people do it for you? I had one guy go, well, I don't like making the small talk. It's like, you're an adult. You don't have to engage. Just give them the look.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, strawberry Pop-Tarts. I've always enjoyed those. Just give them that look.
You just stare at
them. Okay, yeah. All right.
All right.
Guess he's not in a mood. And you're done.
No, you can't do that.
Tom is the king.
So I'm guessing you
get a load of this, Bill. Yeah. Tom and Christy both organize their groceries in the cart as they want them bagged.
Yes.
They put them on the conveyor.
That's too much work.
No. You got to do it that way.
Because then when you get home, it's so much easier to put them away.
Yeah, you get the cleaning products in with the chicken if you don't do it that way.
Yeah, we don't. What if you get the bag?
What if you get the bag boy who decides to separate your stuff?
Well, a lot of times. Well,
then you start barking orders.
A lot of times I bag my own groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you do.
You hear that?
Okay. No.
You remember those old 1950s footage when you pulled into a gas station, like 12 guys attached
your
car?
Oh, sure.
Some girl came out on roller skates and gave you a drink. It's like, what happened to that?
Let's see. I know a reality. Let's see. The end of slavery. There are a couple things
slavery?
That kicked
in.
No, they took us off the gold standard.
People were making money. You would come in and check the oil in your car. Come on.
No more slavery.
They took us off the gold standard. That's what it was.
Yeah, is that what it was? Bob and Tom show.
I mean, it's Donnie Baker.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Burr, you speak for all of us, man. I'm sick and tired of going places and having to make my own drinks and stuff. You're right. We don't work. Oh, and then barbecue sauce, you know. You can get it with chicken, but not fries or fish. Oh, and then three pepper sauce. They may have it on the pump, but not in the packet. That's unchristian. And the fact remains, if we're going to make our black drinks, if they're going to make us make our own drinks, do what I do, Burr. I fight fire with fire. They put up a sign that says free refills. I don't play. I still got a McDonald's cup that says Toy Story 2 on it. I swear to God I do. That's on their dime.
You're a rebel.
I got to go.
All right,
okay,
thanks.
Thanks very much, Donnie.
You got that where you got to make half the sandwich, but there's people where they go over the top, like the other direction, where you're sitting there eating and you go, no, this looks delicious. I can't wait to dig in. And the guy jumps up, you know, a fresh pepper. Yeah, hey, you scared the hell out of me. What do you got there? A table leg? How much leverage do you need on the pepper seed? You're not pressing apples. I'm looking for a tangy accent on my salad. Uh-huh. And then you got the cheese guy comes out. I'm going, couldn't you guys do this back there and then bring it out to me?
Sure.
It's all this extra presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want the guy that you don't get a chance to actually eat the food?
Yeah.
Because they come by every 30 seconds.
How was it?
How was your food?
How was it?
You know, my favorite thing I love when I did it. How's everything? Everything's great except for the food and the service. Everything's terrific.
Well, hotels do that.
Yeah.
You ever come from a long flight and you just want to chill out and you're laying down and right as you're going to nod off, the phone rings. You're like, who the hell is that? I don't want to be in this town. You pick it up. Yeah, just making sure everything's okay up there. Yeah, everything's great. There's a bed. Seems to be working. I was trying to use it.
I don't know.
That's true.
Everyone's trying to do a better job, though. Did you get your car fixed lately? And the next day that somebody calls you?
Yeah, and ask how the service was? Sure.
And then they want you to take a survey? What's with all the surveys?
Good God. Trying to find out.
Well, I had a computer problem the other day.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I called the company, and they gave me an 800 number to call. Now guess who I'm talking to?
Some guy
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yep.
Right, Slumdog Millionaire. And, I live in America. I mean, it's like, can I talk to somebody? I mean, his main mode of transportation is an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
I live in America. I want it done today. You know, so while I was on hold for 72 hours, I popped in one of those Rosetta Stone CDs and learned Hindi. So by the time he got to me, I could actually converse with him his own language. You know? Apparently, I just needed to reboot.
That's the voice of Jimmy
Shooter.
One
more hour to go here on this Monday morning. Comedians Carmen Lynch, Dana Gould, and Ahmed Ahmed, plus Clayton English. Donnie Baker calls in. CPAP, snoring, and bow ties. A lot to fit in 1 hour. It's coming up next here on the Bob and Tom Show.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show, the Napa Auto Parts Studios. This is Christopher speaking. Hey, all this week you're going to have more chances to win some Bob and Tom gear, T-shirts, hats, other stuff. When you hear the cue to call, you dial #250, and when prompted, use the keyword Bob and Tom. You'll have the option to receive an auto-dialed text message from the Bob and Tom Show. You can also sign up to win by going to bobandtom.com/contest. Right now, a segment about CPAP, snoring, and bow ties here on this Monday morning.
The other man in the room would be Josh Arnold. Wait a minute, I'm here too. This is Tom speaking. The ladies of the house include Grace and Christy Lee at the Bob and Tom News Desk.
What does that sound like, Tom?
I can't get enough of it.
Sounds like someone on their deathbed with some kind of device stuck in their throat.
That's right. This is people with COPD having sex.
That's right. They still go for it.
Why?
Stupid.
While wearing the CPAP machine.
Yes.
You know that's happened.
One of my best friends, she walked in. She was a grown woman.
Yes.
Like 20-something.
Grown-ass woman.
Walked in on her parents, and they were doing it.
No.
Her dad was still wearing his CPAP.
No.
Was she calling him like Steve Canyon or
Darth Vader?
Steve Canyon.
Reference to it. Well, if they're of a certain age,
Steve
that would
Canyon?
Be.
Steve Canyon?
He was a comic strip back in the 30s?
Comic strip pilot. No, 50s. He's a man of a certain age.
Did he wear a mask?
Well, yeah, it was in
those
cockpit,
Air Force masks.
Oh. You know, now they have CPAPs that just go in your nose like a little.
Just as
like
attractive.
It's a hell of a lot better than. It's just like
can't
a little
you,
oxygen
Can't you take
line.
It off during intimate activities?
Well, you can always take it off.
I'm sure you can. Yeah,
you could,
maybe.
But if you're going to have that oxygen supply, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Leave on your ball cap, too. Maybe flip it around as a courtesy.
Well, maybe it turns her on.
That been that. If dinner's served, you turn your hat around. That's right, Ace.
Hang on a second. What'd you say?
Maybe it turns her on. You don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I can pretend he's Tom Cruise because I can't see his face.
Well, when my friend walked in on her parents, apparently she wouldn't have been able to see his face anyway. The position they were in.
They're watching the hockey game.
Yeah, yeah.
She stuck around
long enough. With that.
And apparently she ran out and she started crying in the living room, and then the parents had to come out and console her.
Is there anything worse? I can't imagine.
Are her parents familiar with the concept of a lock?
I don't think they expected anyone to be walking in.
Well, hey, when the mood strikes, you know, the guy's got the CPAP going and probably is it making like a pumping sound?
Hooked on a feeling. Like it's.
I think it just runs. I think there's a thing that it runs. And
yeah, I don't have one. I'm not familiar
I don't either.
With the,
would just assume there's some way to pump the air into your mouth.
Yeah, my dad has one, and my mom says it's very comforting. It's just like white noise.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? I thought it's comforting that he's still breathing.
That too, yeah. Sometimes we have to poke him, make sure he's still there.
Oh, why am I laughing?
God,
one of my
what?
Closest
this is
friends,
you, like, one of your best friends.
Yeah, I want to talk about anything else.
I'm just saying you turn the thing on and it makes this sound.
All
right. Those aren't the words. Hooda.
No.
I think that's the word. Yeah, you're right. Hooda. That's what they are.
So is it how big is the machine itself? Is it like the size of a lunchbox or
his is, but Christy's right, they have new ones that are just really small that go into your nostrils and are portable. Like they just
depending
work
on
their...
what I mean.
What if you're a mouth breather?
That's your own fault.
You have to keep your mouth shut the whole time?
I'm sure it depends on what type of... I'm not a doctor. I'm not prescribing it.
All right.
Or you can just listen to Grace Jinger, MD. That's your own fault.
Has your doctor ever said that?
Yeah. Now, you passed medical school with flying colors. We'd like to talk to you about your bedside manner, if we could.
See the commercials every day for the...
You know what? I bet
the machine that cleans the CPAP.
I bet you could benefit from a CPAP machine.
I bet
the way you
could
snore...
Oh, yeah.
I don't snore that much. Occasionally, there's a...
Yes, just a little tiny... Yes, that's right. That's why everyone talks about it.
Have you ever snored your uvula swollen?
What?
No.
Like, I've snored so hard that my uvula is like three times the size that it's supposed to be.
That's a thing?
Does it change your voice?
Oh, it sucks bad. You gag on it.
during gagging a uvula chick.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Hey, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buddy.
Yes. Yeah.
You sure you got a hold of a uvula there? That's what you're choking on? Are you sure?
Yeah. He said you're going to feel.
Yeah. It's gonna, my buddy wouldn't lie.
It's
going to
feel like you're gagging. It's just your swollen uvula.
That's right.
Why would he lie to me?
Shut your eyes.
So you're a big snorer is what I'm hearing?
I was at one point. Yeah. It hasn't happened in a while, so.
Well, how would you know? You'd have to have someone to.
No, the swollen uvula hasn't happened
in
a while.
You don't know. Maybe he has had an overnight. You don't know.
I was going to say, have you recently had an encounter in
where
which,
someone said you're
where
snoring?
Where someone said, oh, by the way, after things, whatever, transpired.
He's searching so hard for an insult. His brain grinded to a halt.
What are you going
to
say? After that huge dinner we had?
No, after.
You know what? He wasn't, Christy. But you did.
But you did. That's interesting.
After you collapsed on top of me in ecstasy.
After the salad bar and the Chinese buffet.
Together.
After you collapsed on top of me after that moment of ecstasy, I wormed my way out.
Much like those children being extricated from the cave in Thailand.
With the help of two divers. And I
apologize. I didn't mean
what
that.
What a dick.
Oh, no, sorry.
So, have you had other people who have been around you?
Yes, the answer is yes.
And they say you're snoring.
No, they've said the opposite. They've said, I hope I wasn't snoring too badly. They said, no, you weren't.
There you go. So
were your brothers snoring on the fishing trip?
Oh, we probably all were, yeah. Oh. But we were in separate rooms, so.
You can hear them through the walls?
No, I couldn't.
Okay, so then there was no snoring going on.
Well,
there could have been. I mean, maybe the walls were decent.
Well, it could have been. Maybe everyone was asleep at the same time. Reproducing the Sistine Chapel ceiling,
At night, like we all
yes,
do.
They could have. I mean,
there are a lot of options.
Yes,
a lot of options. Well, behind closed doors, they could have been working on a new theory of perpetual motion.
And they were snoring. There. I'll just it sounded like a paper mill.
Sounded like a jet engine factory is what it sounded like. That's right.
What are you looking for?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I've seen the commercial for the Clean Your CPAP machine.
Yeah, me too.
I don't even have one, but I want to get I don't even have a CPAP. I want to get the cleaner. It scared the hell out of me. Well, if I ever have one, at least I'll have the cleaning machine. sorry.
Yeah, they make it sound like after one use, it's just bacteria
right.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know they're very
helpful.
I ran
into someone last night, and it saved his life. I mean, the CPAP machine.
Oh, I'm not doubting that. I just think it's...
I bet you could get a good night's sleep if you had
it. I get a great night's sleep all the time.
I would be skeptical.
You weren't there.
Anybody who can get off work at work and drive to a Starbucks, pull up the car, put it in park, and fall asleep, they're not getting a good night's sleep.
Yeah, that's what my doctor friend would say. You fall asleep so quickly.
I had a quick 5 hours. Just want to catch another 20 minutes.
5 hours isn't enough.
Sure it is.
They say seven. It's supposed to be at least seven.
What do they know?
Yeah, they're just doctors.
Doctors and scientists,
extensive.
Maybe they're wearing their ties too tight.
Maybe.
Just learned that that's making people stupider.
You're not wearing a tie? We established that.
And what's your problem with bow ties, by the way?
Nothing. I just think if you're a bow tie, a banjo, and a straw cap, you're probably sad, lonely, and
it's not
hopeless.
Deliverance. It's a very dapper look.
Oh, I wish I could tell a bow tie
story. Oh, won't
story
you come
I
home,
heard.
Bill Bailey? Please stop. That's when you see someone go, yeah, bring on the bagpipes. Anything but the banjo. Oh, sorry.
Do you own a bow tie?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Do you own a banjo?
Of course not.
Okay.
Why do you own a bow tie?
It goes with a tux. I have a tux. I have to wear it every.
Oh, that kind. Okay.
Every 3 years or something. But
I don't think that's the bow tie we're talking about.
But you don't have like Orville Redenbacher bow ties laying around.
That's not your.
You don't have a collection.
Well, no.
I have enough trouble pulling off being anywhere, but I'm not going to be the guy with the bow tie.
That's a very valid point.
Hi. They instantly think jackass. Oh, that's an interesting affectation. What's his problem?
We're full of comedians for the rest of the hour. Coming up, Carmen Lynch, Dana Gould, and Ahmed Ahmed. But coming up next, Clayton English. And Donnie Baker calls into the show.
You'll hear it right here on The Bob and Tom Show.
It's time now for the guy who would rather nitpick than have sex.
Baby, let's make love. You know, we haven't been together since the start of the new millennium.
Well, technically, the new millennium doesn't start until January 1st, 2001. Yeah, obviously, there was no year zero, so I, you know...
Okay, whatever, but come on, baby. I want to try this kinky thing I read about using warm vegetables. I've got carrots, potatoes, and your favorite, tomatoes.
You know, that's kind of a common mistake. The tomato actually is a fruit, not a vegetable. Interestingly enough, the tomato is in the same family as the poisonous nightshade plant.
Listen, don't talk. Just come to bed. I'll tell you what. I'll give you...
You know, it's odd that people call it that. There's actually no blowing involved. You know, the term probably originated...
Oh, forget it. I'm out of here. You can go f*** yourself.
You know, technically, that's not possible.
This has been the guy who would rather nitpick than have sex.
We're back. This is the Bob and Tom Show for a Monday from the Napa Auto Parts Studios. This is Christopher speaking. Hope you're having a great Monday so far. Comedian Clayton English stopped by the studio. Donnie Baker calls in. And Tom's 1%. Let's listen.
Worldwide on American Forces Radio, coast to coast on great radio stations like this one. I look around the room and I see the room's gotten a lot better looking because of the arrival of that man, Clayton English. If ever there was a name that sounded like a man from the UK, I say...
Clayton.
Oh, yes, good sir.
Actually, he's from Atlanta. Looks like he plays in the NBA.
Yeah, but you know...
You got game over there, as
no,
they say?
Not at all.
Yeah, nor do I, surprisingly.
I wish. Yeah. On the stage, I can, you know, no.
No. Okay.
But you're tall. How tall are you?
Like 6'4". Okay, like that.
Had to be rough growing up, and everyone thought you were going to be good at basketball.
I was all right. I didn't have, like, a good skill set because I grew fast. You know, I was awkward, and like other people, they had their bodies longer than me, I felt like. I was like, you've been that size for 3 years. I just got this big. Let me figure out how to work this machine, and I'm going to do some damage. But
did you have that thing where you grew like one summer?
Yeah, I think it just like sprung up. Like it was like
I went from 5'3" to 6 feet in one very, very short period when I was a junior in high school.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Very weird.
Yeah, so what did you wear? You were just in halter tops that used to be regular shirts.
Yeah. I like to wear corduroys that looked like clam diggers. It was real short.
Yeah.
Now, Clayton, you might have heard coming in that we were talking about the most hilarious story about this gentleman was hella skiing.
Okay, I'm trying to – let me try to tell the story, okay? I'll tell it
certainly,
from the
then I have another rich people story that you won't believe.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So humorous.
I told you it was 1% or news.
Maybe half percenter.
Clayton, do you ski?
No.
Have you? Okay. Just,
no.
It's possible?
No, it is. It is. I can do it if you know, I put my mind to it.
Sure, yeah.
Everyone's looking at me like I... Sorry. The story is this guy rents a helicopter. This costs like $10,000 to do this for a day, I think.
Man.
He gets dropped off at the top of this mountain, and he's by himself, and he's got one of those helmet cams on. So the helicopter drops him off on top of this snow, beautiful snow covered mountain, every skier's dream. And he's narrating this thing so he can show his buddies to go, okay, let's go for it. He says to himself, He goes about 3 feet, hits a rock, and his ski flies off and it goes flying down the mountain. So it's just kind of a funny thing, and then he radios, and who knows what happens.
So anyway, I was out on the polo field the other day,
yeah,
and I was getting ready to get up onto my horse, and I reach up and give him a good luck tap on the withers.
Oh, as one does.
Certainly. And I reach up and grab the bridle, slips out of my hand, the horse runs unridered out onto the field.
Just by itself?
Oh. I'll try to make it a relatable.
Oh, wait. So he took a helicopter to the top of a mountain.
Yes. Yeah. And the helicopter's gone now.
No. If I rent the helicopter, you're going to stay here. And you're going to see me do this, man.
Yeah.
You're not an Uber. You don't get to drive off. Where are you going?
Start
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Circle around, man. I don't know.
Okay, I have this is a serious question. I guarantee somewhere, probably in New York, there is Uber for helicopters.
There is.
Yeah,
there actually is.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
how rich do you have to be for that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you know, you can get the Uber Helicopter X and
share it with 12 people just grabbed in there.
That's the big copter. That's the one the president has that looks like a big boat. We have a lot to get to here, so no more heliskiing. Anyway.
No, we're not going to talk about helicopters today.
I am bringing that up next time. Next time people start talking too rich for me. So, you know, I was hella skiing.
Yeah.
Because for black people, that just means a lot of skiing.
Right, like, right.
Man, we was doing hella skiing.
It was hella fun, man.
Yeah. I mean, geez.
Good point. Helicopter skiing. Yeah. Yes. We have Christy Lee at the Bob and Tom news desk. What's going on over there?
Well, we go from skiing to Hawaii. You know, last Saturday, the folks there were awakened by a terrifying false alert about an inbound missile. And I believe you brought this up yesterday, but Hawaii's Emergency Management Agency has said that a worker clicked the wrong item in a drop-down menu to send out that alarm.
Yes, and
that the system was not hacked.
An idiotic way to have the alarm go off. In other words, you click on this thing and you have to scroll down. You've got like 8 choices if you slip. And who hasn't done that?
Right.
Josh, you've probably gotten beefy cadet porn by mistake.
What is that? I don't even know.
Who knows?
What that is.
His mind doesn't work like everyone else.
You know, when you were trying to go for, you know, skinny waitress porn and you clicked on the
waitress.
Wrong one.
Do you see that? You see what he did there?
Yep.
A woman isn't enough. She has to be serving food for me to be able to get off.
That's right.
Right.
And smell of food.
Yeah, yeah.
Smell like gravy.
Yep.
Service industry.
So let me ask you, so you've never had waitress fantasy porn?
No.
That's never been one of the scenarios in your mind that get home and you load your spank bank with the waitress and...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I saw an attractive waitress and I think about her later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, nothing comes to mind with that.
Okay. Try that this weekend.
Back to Hawaii. Right. An Associated Press photo from last July has raised questions about the agency's cybersecurity practices.
Uh-oh.
The system password for Hawaii's Emergency Management Agency was kept on a Post-it note pasted to the computer screen.
You can see this. I've seen the photograph.
An enlarged version of the image.
There's this doofus standing in front of it, and right on the computer screen is a Post-it note.
The Post-it says password and a series of letters.
Oh. Please be aloha. Please be
aloha.
Please be 1234.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Or password.
Yeah. Right.
These people are in charge. Why do they even have this agency? Doesn't the federal government do this for us?
Now, I would much prefer it be state by state. You don't want to wait until Washington. If a missile's coming at you, you don't want to wait for Washington to find out and then let you know. You want to just
know
let people
it's
know.
All the, so I'm sure all the data they're getting is from nationally controlled satellites. Hawaii doesn't have their own satellite that some guy that got the most votes had put up. Because the garage door opening company that gave him a bunch of money for his campaign got the gig.
What the hell are you talking
Don't you remember
about?
It took them so long to...
It took them 37 minutes because they had to contact the federal government to say...
Right. Now, it turned out they didn't have to do that. But the fact that they did it and it took so long... No, you don't want to mess with that.
But the federal government had never said to them, there's a bomb coming.
No, but they didn't know what they were supposed to do after the alarm went out.
No, these people are morons. They should all be fired.
Yeah, you don't know how... Like,
they're all on the government payroll. They're never going to get fired.
If your job is to sound the alarm, you should know how to do it and know how to turn it off.
Yeah, like, and there
right,
should,
of
and
course.
And it shouldn't be just one guy who's having a bad day. Well, I'll show that bitch. Click. Which actually reminds me, did you see the story about the bomb hoax guy?
A man in the UK called in a false bomb threat to ruin his wife's night out at a bar.
Wow.
According to a report, the 42-year-old man made two calls on November 25th. After becoming angry that his wife was out spending money while he was working two jobs to, quote, pay the bills.
Okay.
We've all been there.
He told the police that he wanted to ruin her night. What?
No, you go out. I'm fine. I'll just keep working.
Oh, Jesus.
You know.
This is why I've been single 12 years.
Your microphone's on. You know that, right?
The pub called the Duke of Wellington and Weatherspoon was forced to...
How's the beef?
Wouldn't it be funny if that was their commercial? I say, where's the beef? Which, of course.
Well, it's in Weatherspoon, Wellington. The Duke of Wellington.
It's Wellington has the beef.
They were forced to close early as police evacuated 25 overnight guests and 130 bar patrons. By the way, this guy was given a sentence of 6 months in prison for doing this.
Not enough.
Oh, man.
You don't call 911 so that your wife doesn't have a good time.
No.
You should have done something like, what's the thing they do at the bank?
Rob it?
Hit a button? What?
No.
Stop
dye packs?
Put dye packs in her panties.
Dye packs in her panties?
Okay, because she's going out to a
bar. Blow her vagina right off.
Yeah, you could lose a labia that
way. Yeah, you sure could.
Has anyone ever used the phrase lose a labia in a sentence?
So you're insinuating that just because this woman's going out, she's screwing around on her husband.
Well, this guy sounds like an incredible jerk. I wouldn't blame her.
Okay.
Don't you think this guy sounds like a complete psycho?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going out. I'm going to call 911 or whatever.
Yeah, what kind of like maybe just talk.
Yeah, exactly.
No, go out. Have a good time. No, I'm fine. No, I'm good.
I'll just sit here manning the Hawaii button just in case anything goes wrong. Don't worry about that dye pack in your undies.
What's wrong, honey? Oh, nothing. I'm fine. The worst words in the English dictionary.
Hello, Bob and Tom Show.
I'm fine.
Hi, Bob and Tom. It's Donnie Baker.
Well, hey, Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
We was just talking about this dude at work here, the guy that tried to ruin his wife's night out.
Yeah.
Doing a bomb threat. Mm-hmm. I mean, this ain't OJ versus Nicole bad, but it's still disturbed.
Oh,
yeah.
I swear to God. And it hits close to home. My friend Jimmy's wife, Charlene, well, she was going out all the time partying it up while he's working two jobs, and one of them was digging ditches. Wow. And he used to get butthurt if you'd say, well, at least we ain't digging ditches. But he'd put in 18, 19 hours a day, and Charlene would spend half his money driving their LeBaron in the same ditches he was digging. Swear to God.
Irony.
That is.
She totaled 3 cars in 2 months and still got coverage on her moped. I don't get life sometimes. Anyways, instead of calling in a bomb threat like his dick, he decided he was going to give her a reason to start staying home. So he finally got a night off last weekend, so after supper, he popped 4 of them gas station boner pills you always see by the register.
Sure.
The ones that look like random vitamins. Then he chased him with 4 cans of Red Bull.
Uh-oh.
His plan was to rock her world all night long, and then she'd want to be at home every night from then on.
How'd that work out for him?
Well, Charlene's now in a wheelchair, and Jimmy's funeral was yesterday.
Killed him?
It's weird going to funerals. You know, you start thinking about your own immorality at them things.
Immortality, yes.
Like what the proper wait time is for you're allowed to start roping his widow. Me and Scotty went for a grade. She'll probably at least wait till she's on her feet again. The weirdest part is when you're driving in the funeral procession, and then motorcycle cops stop all the other cars at the lights to let you go through.
Yeah, I hate that.
I mean, you're supposed to be sad, but you can't help to high-five a little to celebrate, man.
Yeah.
I swear to God. You get them kind of French benefits only like once or twice a year. It's almost like worth copping a few of them flags to keep in case of emergency, because trust me, I ain't never showing up to my dart league late again. I swear to God. Anyways, we've all been on the other end of that ways too, right? Mm-hmm. We've all had it happen to us. It's unfair to have to wait on them funeral parades. Because now you're 25 minutes late to a job interview because Frank was super popular, has 500 friends behind him in the hearse. And I've got all the places to be, and he's got all the time in the world forever to wait on someone who's got all the time in the world to get there.
Good point. You
know, it don't make sense. And Josh, don't feel bad about your fetish.
Oh.
I had a buddy who could only get off if he smelled fresh baked goods. Swear to God.
Okay.
He used to say, time to bang the donuts.
See you, Donnie.
Then there's the opposite.
When you're right, you're right, by the way, Donnie. That guy's got all the time in the world.
Yeah. The opposite side of that coin is when you see the funeral procession, there's only like 3 cars, and you want to turn around and get in line just because you feel bad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm
accidentally
talking about, don't you?
You ever accidentally gotten into one?
No.
You just really weren't paying attention?
No.
Hey, it's cool, though. You know.
Well, you don't have to stop for any lights.
Yeah.
I did it once and felt awful.
Why?
Because you know.
You were like in the middle, though.
Yeah, exactly. I was
did
in
you
the
go
middle.
All the way to the funeral home? Or,
no, no.
Or
I
to
just,
the cemetery?
I just happened to get in, and then I was changing lanes.
Oh,
you know, and
okay.
So,
were you upset because your car wasn't up to snuff with the others? You know, they're going by.
What?
Oh, look, Range Rover, Jaguar, Cadillac.
What is this, a 1% funeral now?
What is this, a 1% day?
Jesus.
Gosh.
He's got new interest, man. He got some new money. He must got Bitcoin money. We don't know about it.
Your automobile simply wasn't up to snuff, Joshua.
Yeah. I'm just asking if you
nice
felt.
Car.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I'm just asking if you felt self-conscious. Why would you feel self-conscious? Christie's right. All of a sudden,
I didn't feel self-conscious.
I'm not stopping in any lights.
I felt disrespectful. You don't get in the middle of a. You're supposed to pay attention.
Well, how do you feel
that
about
stuff?
That waitress who you were boning in your mind and you go back for a second?
Now
oh, hey, by the way, honey, last night you and I had a good time.
You
it's
know,
a shame you weren't there.
You,
are you smelling oranges right now?
You
what is,
you set up that scenario. He didn't, first of all. Never mind.
I bet he's going to this weekend. Hate to be your waitress.
Speaking of waitresses.
Count the butter.
This is one you will not be fantasizing
count
about.
Count the butter, chuckle.
A waitress who's
count
worked-
the butter.
What?
A waitress who's worked at a Penn State hangout for more than six decades has called it quits. 81-year-old Emma Gonzalez retired from the corner room this week.
I wouldn't use her for your fantasy this week.
Where she worked for 61 years.
There's nothing more charming than that lovely curmudgeon.
Emma. Yep.
Unless they're awful people.
She worked her first.
Lady was, I'm sure.
She worked her first shift at the restaurant in the 50s and has not missed a shift since.
Okay. If I come in when I'm sick, I'm telling everybody about it.
She said,
I can't believe we can't smoke here no more.
All right,
they stopped
Emma?
Smoking, though. I took all them ashtrays home. I did.
Poor
you
Emma.
Won't believe who we allow to eat in here now.
Yeah, your name may be English, but you sure as hell ain't from England, mister.
It's a crime.
Hey, that's God, funny. No, those old waitresses, they can be mean and sweet.
You're right, right.
Like they keep walking past you like 10 times, and you're like, can I get, hold your horses, sweetie. I'm an octopus. I don't have eight arms. You're like,
I ain't an octopus.
No, she called me sweetie.
I'm like, lady. Yeah.
One more segment to go. It's with comedians Carmen Lynch, Dana Gould, and Ahmed Ahmed. You'll hear that next on this Monday here on the Bob and Tom Show.
From the Napa Auto Parts Studios, this is the Bob and Tom Show with a chance for you to win some Bob and Tom gear from the Bob and Tom Store. Dial #250 right now. You'll have the option to receive an auto-dialed text message from the Bob and Tom Show, then follow the link to register to win. Or go to bobandtom.com/contest to sign up to win. More of the Bob and Tom Show is next.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Napa Auto Parts Studio. This is Christopher speaking. Bob and Tom cast on vacation this week. Morning fun continues tomorrow with more nonsense, so you want to be around for that. One more segment to go here. It's with comedians Carmen Lynch, Dana Gould, and Ahmed Ahmed.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks for coming. Oh, we're already here. Okay, we're live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Thanks for joining us. That's Bob. I'm Tom. Chick McGee across the way at the Quality Drivers Sports Desk. We say driveqd.com. That's how you can become a trucker on this Truck Driver Appreciation Week. Also in the studio, we have the pretty, tall, slender. She is Carmen Lynch.
I hope it's me.
Well,
and we have the...
that doesn't describe
it's not
me
the
all.
Leathery Dana Gould.
Yes. I look like a handsome guy's reflection in a puddle.
On a rainy day. Dana Gould and then the very handsome Ahmed Ahmed. We were talking about your height, Carmen. Don't mean to dwell on it. Did you when you were a kid?
Please do.
When you were a kid, did you have nicknames? Did the kids call you?
Yeah, some of them were kind of cute, like Stretch, Shorty. Those are... But Too Tall Jones apparently was a basketball player. And I didn't know
football
he was. I'm like, who's
player.
Too Tall Jones?
Ed Too Tall Jones.
And then Big Bird. How could I forget? Yeah, those two were probably like the mean ones.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd get weird other ones that had nothing to do with being tall, like fish eyes. And I'm like, can you just make fun of my height? Because that one hurts.
Wow. You
don't have
fish
awful.
Eyes.
Well, it'd always be like, you have big eyes like a frog or a bug. And I'm like,
yikes.
Yeah. I'm like, oh. Sorry.
So are you going out with me or what? No. You're awful.
Check the box. Yes, no, or maybe.
Now, Dana, any nicknames as a kid? Your dad call you a nickname?
Yeah, my dad called me the mailman's kid. I don't know what that meant.
Really? So he liked JFK.
Everybody was sad that day.
I think
day.
The post office was closed that day.
Oh, I meant milkman.
Ahmed, nicknames as a kid?
Terrorist number four.
He was person of interest.
Yeah. Proof of life.
No, I had four older brothers and we were all Gouldy. So it's like we just Gouldy, and everybody would turn. Which one?
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. No. They made it easy on the Simpsons Halloween episodes. Just G-H-O-U-L. Oh. For my Halloween name.
Ghoul. Ghoul. I used to get Club Med.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, really?
Club Med.
Oh, mm-hmm. I used to get a lot, like, because Lynch is my last name, so, like, Lynchburg, Lynch Mob.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sound. But my family calls me.
Where did you grow up?
In Virginia and in Spain. But in Spain, my family calls me Carmen Lynch, the whole name, because there are so many Carmens that they're just like, you have to be the one with the last name.
Well, it's so funny because, like, people who were made barrels, that's where the last name Cooper came from, a barrel Cooper.
Right.
And people with the last name of Smith were Smiths, and they became Smiths. And you grew up in Virginia. And your name is Lynch.
Lynch.
Well, my dad is a Lynch, and he's from upstate New York. Oh. So,
what did his ancestors do to get the name Lynch?
Huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's like
you know a lot about
barrel? It's like my aunt Edith Baltickler.
Do you know a lot about the manufacturing of barrels? Do you read about it?
But they do in Lynchburg.
My name, my let me tell you something. My knowledge of old-fashioned barrel making has led to an avalanche of ladies.
Isn't that what the bunghole? Isn't that what that's the
That's in a ship.
It's in a barrel.
I thought it was the bunghole was in a barrel on a ship. Yeah.
Yes.
And you would tap in. Is that where you tap into the
Into the barrel?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tap into the bunghole.
What I like is there's no analogies. The this is completely legitimate conversation.
Okay.
And people just tuning into the station. Yes, you obviously have to lube the bunghole before you tap in.
That's right.
And that's how you get in the Navy.
Wow, Carmen.
But enough about the new Superman movie.
Yes,
Carmen, you're at Wiley's Comedy Club this weekend. Where do you actually live? Are you still living in Virginia? Or?
No, I lived in Brooklyn, but I don't live anywhere now. Uh-huh. My lease is up, so I'm traveling for 3 months, and this is my first stop. Dayton. So
all your stuff is in your.
I brought the biggest bag to Dayton for the weekend, and then I go to L.A. D.C. and Spain.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Dubai, I'm waiting to hear.
Oh.
Spain.
Yes. I do Spanish comedy, so I'm doing that for 3 weeks.
Whoa.
So are you fluent?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
¿Habla árabe?
No, árabe no, solo español.
Do you...
I like coffee, too.
Do you do your jokes in the same jokes?
They're talking about how they're both
going to
pee
most of them.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
You all want to pee on me.
Welcome to Dubai.
Dana Gould pee.
When do you practice your Spanish version of your show?
When I go on stage in Spain, there's nowhere to practice.
Some of the jokes, is it the same joke but in a different, or are they all?
It's in a different order, like the word order changes because their verbs and everything, they're all mixed up. But some of the stuff, no, like sarcasm doesn't work at all.
Yeah, don't do any dry humor.
Yeah.
What's the name of the comedy club in Spain?
I don't even know. The guy that I'm working with who lives in Barcelona, he's booking it all, so I have no idea.
It's not a comedy club, it's a cafe.
They're probably lounges.
Are you sure this guy's legit?
No, he's. I've worked with him before.
Because if you get there and it's elbow. Bungholes.
Yeah.
I got
news for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I'm just doing it because I've done it maybe like 15 times before. So why not go back and do more?
Why not?
This is an actual true story. We had Gallagher in here, and at the time he hired a guy to take his act and rewrite it in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
I've heard about this.
And then he memorized it phonetically. And a lot of his stuff involved props and stuff, so I guess, I don't know, he thought it might work.
Yeah.
And then he came back a year later, and I said, how did that thing go with the Spanish thing? And it didn't work.
No, I remember when he did it, and he did it in, like, Riverside or someplace originally, and it was a tremendous...
Isn't he suing...
It was a fantastic disaster. What is Gallagher like on the radio? Does he bring a guy in with him? Gallagher is now picking up a hammer. Gallagher is now placing a cantaloupe under the hammer.
On the radio, he's just bitter.
Isn't he suing his twin brother for stealing his act, I think?
I think he licensed his brother to do his act, I think. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I think so, yeah. Oh. Gallagher 2.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there was a licensing register. I don't know if it fell apart or not, but wait a second.
Bob and Tom show.
Hola, me llamo Bunghole. Did I win something?
Senior Bunghole.
No, you're a caller. You're caller Ocho. Bye.
Oh. You're looking for the ninth caller.
Wow.
Wow. No, so you're obviously incredibly fluent in Spanish?
Very fluent. I mean, I lived there till I was 8.
Okay. So like when you get, say, if you go to the store and you buy something you have to put together just to practice, do you do the Spanish directions?
What do you mean to put together?
Let's say you go to, you know, you buy
instructions.
Instructions. You know, how do you put together this particular chair?
Oh, that takes a while long. I'd probably just make my sister do it or someone who lives there.
Okay, mm-hmm. you wouldn't.
But
you,
okay, I mean, I have to practice what I'm going to say in Spain. You know, it doesn't just come out. But right. But it's fun. It's like harder. It's like stand up isn't hard enough.
Yeah,
I'm no, like let's do it in Spanish.
I mean, it's even hard. Like when you go to London.
Yeah,
there are adjustments that you have to make with your rhythm, with your timing, because just different cultures have different psycho-verbal rhythms,
right.
And they operate
and
differently.
Their humor is a little different than ours as well. I mean.
Yeah.
So what do you do with the Simpsons? Obviously, is translated into dozens and dozens of languages.
Yes. In fact, a funny story, but I'm not going to tell it. This is neither the time nor the place.
That's not why we're here.
I was in Italy and I turned on the TV, and the first thing that came up was an episode of the show that I had written.
Oh.
In Italian.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which was weird. Yeah. Homer has a deep voice. Il cucciamo l'ecclesiano. Sounds like El Duce.
It's got to be very difficult to translate the jokes.
They had a weird story where Laverne and Shirley went to, I think, Japan or someplace. And this is my opening talk with the ladies when I meet him in a bar. Want to hear about what happened when Laverne and Shirley went to Japan?
Do I?
Wait, then we'll go to my place. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see what you. And it just, they thought this is going to be great. And it just tanked. And then they tagged somebody there and then they re-released it with an opening credit sequence that said, like, these two women have escaped from a mental hospital and they are trying to hide out from. And then it was like people got it and it was huge.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Yeah,
explain. Yeah,
it's just like Kojak was huge in England, huger in England than it was here.
Yeah,
just inexplicable.
Yeah,
just certain things resonate.
That's like the Middle
East. Things don't.
I was talking to my friend in Kuwait, and he's like, "Did you see the movie Flight?" I'm like, "Yeah, it was really good." He's like, "I know, but it was so short.
It was like 3 hours."
I go, "It's a 2.5 hour movie. In Kuwait, it was like 45 minutes." Because they cut out all the R-rated stuff.
Oh, really?
So it's all edited. So like anything R-rated or explicit here, like when it goes to the Gulf countries, like Kuwait, for instance, which is a dry country, there's no alcohol, they cut the hell
out. The whole movie's about alcohol, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's why it was 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was like a trailer.
When I was in China, we were in a mall, and the Two Towers was in the theater, the second Lord of the Rings movie.
Mm-hmm.
And playing on a TV in the lobby before you go into the movie was the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
A little redundant.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
It's the Bob and Tom Show.
Here's some extra. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hello, once again. Thanks for joining us. With us in the studio, comedian Mike McCray. I've probably seen him on David Letterman. He's a great comedian. He's also an impressionist.
I do.
We have Chad Daniels. He is a stand-up comedian. His awesomeness is noted in his new album,
Busy
which is called,
awesome.
What is it called?
Busy Being Awesome.
There you go.
John Evans is also the proprietor of Iron City Vintage in Greater Pittsburgh. Are you going to change your football allegiance?
Not at all.
Okay. You remain a fan of?
Of the 49ers. Of course. Mm-hmm. I grew up Bay Area kid, so 49ers through and through. We look good this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what people, it's the trendy pick in
you
the West.
You and Tommy Jonigan, 49ers.
Yeah, it's a trendy pick out West, so I'm very excited.
Okay, good. A couple quick things in the world of news. I mentioned this earlier. You guys have to do a lot of traveling, a lot of driving of cars. I'm sure you put hundreds of thousands of miles on cars between you. A South Carolina woman found out something kind of interesting, took a car to the mechanic, had a little problem, They found a cheeseburger and pickle inside the car's gas tank.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll happen.
$1,000 to repair that.
Somebody didn't like her.
Somebody was mad about something.
But you can supersize it for an extra $49.
Nice.
Somebody ate her muffin and didn't ask.
Yeah. That's
shoved
that's,
a
that's right.
cheeseburger.
In her gas tank.
In her gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all those gas tanks these days, the hole is really small. How do you get that thing in there?
Oh, you got to try.
I guess you really do, huh?
How would they know?
You got to want it.
Yeah. Wouldn't the gasoline melt the yikes?
Eat through the cheeseburger?
How do you find that? How do you find that? Is it what point
well,
do
if
you...
water, well, after a while, the gas is not going to be brought in from the tank. Something's clogging it, so they probably had to go into the tank and find out what was blocking it, and bam.
And it still looks like a cheeseburger?
There's a cheeseburger.
So you mean it's odd they could still tell.
Mm. The cartoons are wrong? You can't just put food in your car to make it go
They're wrong.
Like at the end of Back to the Future?
Mm-hmm.
I put a McRib in my car once.
Mr. Fusion?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, Mike, we were talking earlier about your life, and you do not do any of these impressions in front of your wife in the bedroom. That's, of course, that goes without saying.
Right. No, of course.
But
it went with saying because I had to tell you.
Yeah, that was just for the audience. I knew that that would never happen. But we asked you to do your Gregory Peck, which was fantastic. And again, not top
Thank
of
you.
Mind. Not a lot of guys are out there doing Gregory Peck's impressions, but yours is the finest.
I think I'm the only one in the Gregory Peck game.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I love.
You may be right.
You know that you probably, every time you come here, I make you do that because I like it so much.
I've got no problem with that at all.
Now, are there any more contemporary figures that you're either trying to learn? You don't have to. Is there anyone in contemporary culture that is?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I try to, you know, you just got to watch what the famous people are doing all the time. And one thing I don't like is when famous people get involved in politics and political causes.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good the political cause is, once some famous dude gets in there, it ruins the whole thing. Like environmentalism, you know, obviously global warming is a big problem. But you get these actors in there telling you how to live your lives. I don't want to hear it from them. I don't want to hear George Clooney telling me how to go green. Well, you know, I'm a very environmentally conscious person. For example, when I'm flying my private jet, taking my Italian model to my French jet over the weekend, we have our champagne and caviar on the flight. We always wipe our mouths with cloth napkins. I used to use paper napkins, but Brad Pitt used to make fun of me all the time. He plays a lot of practical jokes. And everyone else should not drive cars. All right, you know what?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Why don't you just work on Ocean's 19 and leave the rest of us alone?
Yeah, I got to tell you. I agree. Chad, do you ever get political? Are you a you live out in the woods? You've got
yeah, I do. I actually I vote at a shooting club.
You do, really? Is that
promise.
Where the polls are?
Yep.
You live in rural Minnesota. Why not?
I went in there last election, and it was just trucks, farmers in overalls, and I was like, are there even Democrats on the ballot in here? So I'm leaving, and this guy has a big bowl of candy, and he goes, "You want some?" I go, "Who bought it?" And he goes, "I did." And I go, "But you're going to give some to me?" "Yeah." I go, "That's socialism, buddy."
Nah.
Or not. I loved last election because I went down south, and not the good south with the buildings and the learning.
Yeah.
I was in the part where they end their sentences with, "Goo-goo-goo." You ever been to that part? Don't get lost. Where's the interstate? Ganam alau, fetal git, tattle out. Goo-goo-goo. All right. I'm good. But they love McCain. They love McCain. Wow. Hey, boy, who are you going to vote for? McCain, come on, buddy. Look him in the face. Who are you going to vote for? He's an American hero. 4 years in prison camp. He had a hard life. Goo-goo-goo. I agree with everything that guy said, but just because you have a hard life, it doesn't automatically make you president.
Right.
I mean, where's President Annie? Has anyone seen her running around? She had a
hard life.
Yeah.
There's songs about it. Yeah, come on.
You don't think Barack Obama had a hard life? He's a black guy whose last name rhymes with Yo Mama.
Amen.
And I love when people are like, there's nothing funny about Barack Obama. Oh, be patient.
Uh-huh.
In 2012, he can run for re-election. When he does, he can use the presidential campaign. Once you go black, you never go back. And he'll win for sure because he'll get 100% of the chubby white girl vote. Spoiler alert, Wisconsin goes blue in 30 seconds.
Wow.
Chad Daniels is our guest. Now, Chickster, did you have something over there?
We have the Double Rainbow song. Remember earlier we heard from the Double Rainbow video guy?
Yes.
We have a link.
Double Complete Rainbow.
He's very emotional about the Double Rainbow.
There's a song?
Yeah. Evidently, they've taken Tom's favorite gadget, the auto-tune, And they've made a double rainbow song for YouTube, and here's the audio.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow, oh my God. Double rainbow, it's a double rainbow all the way. Damn, it's a double rainbow all the way. Damn, oh my God. What does this mean? So bright, so vivid. Double rainbow, it's so dense, dense. What does this mean? It's starting to look like a triple rainbow. That's a whole rainbow where I'm double rainbow all the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So intense. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh, wow. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Double complete rainbow. I can't even capture it on my camera. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah. So intense. Double rainbow all the
That's
way.
Amazing.
That was
great.
So the next time you go and see your favorite artist in concert, and it doesn't sound the same, you can thank the auto-tune. That sounded great.
Yeah, wow. It did. Mm-hmm. Sounded kind of like Homer Simpson there in the middle. He's just crying.
Move over Quincy
Who did
Jones.
That? That's brilliant.
Huh?
That's really well.
Don't know.
I don't know. I'm waiting
did
for
they do it to
coming.
A video?
Yeah, they do it to the video.
Well, the original video is sort of a handheld shaky.
Yeah, but so they just put
show the rainbow.
To it. That's pretty wild.
I'm in tears.
Does anyone
it's the Gregory Brothers.
Very
and the song's available on iTunes.
I'll be darned.
Do we know who the rainbow guy is?
Richie Blackmore.
Richie Blackmore. I was Richie Blackmore does this kind of like a Celtic thing, like
his wife.
Blackmore's Night.
Blackmore's yes. Night, mm-hmm. where he dances around with the lute and type of thing.
Right.
Well, I went to his website, and there's a bunch of questions and things that he likes. He said his favorite drink is rainwater.
Is that
right? That is awesome. That is so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he about to become a dad again? Is he the one?
Yeah, he just did, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's
in his 60s.
Yeah, in his 60s.
Tony Randall.
Rainwater.
Rainwater.
His favorite beverage.
Rock and roll.
Wonderful.
Really, really going soft. And it was like.
Oh, that's right, because his daughter's name was Esmeralda. Yeah. Remember her middle name was
Rainwater with acid.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it should be rainwater, grain alcohol, acid, and heroin.
Yeah. Right.
Come on. It's rock and roll. Chad Daniels, Mike McRae, John Evans all hanging out with us right now.
Thomas really like all of you because he doesn't let this happen.
No, this doesn't happen.
Never, ever.
But he digs this troika?
Yes.
Feeling good.
Not only that, but he likes
trifecta?
Not only that, but he likes the three of you.
You know what's weird, though, about that?
What's that?
This is a visual point, but I look around the room, and everyone today has a different color shirt on, and it almost makes a rainbow. I mean, am I right?
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Oh, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God.
If you haven't seen the double rainbow video, it is hilarious.
I think the guy's name was Roy G. Biv.
His name was Paul Vasquez, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He may or may not be high. Your call. But Bob's got it goes red, blue,
kind of a olive green,
orange,
kind of a reddish orange hair.
And then in like an autumn, and then an orange, and then Christy's got purple, and I'm wearing, of course, the traditional khaki,
which I think is the. Roy G. Biv.
Mm-hmm. Roy G. Biv. Sounds like he's Eastern European.
Yeah. He's the Biv.
You are really something. You know that?
No, we could line up.
More Bob and Tom Extra is coming up next. Attention, Fergler shoppers. You need hardware, you need Fergler. That's right, Fergler's Hardware Store. Fergler's dares you to beat their prices on anything in the store. That's right, Crazy Ernie's lost his mind and everything must go. Ladders, lumber, nails, including the kitchen sink. Fergler's Hardware Store, where you make out like a burglar when you shop at Fergler's. Free popcorn Mondays, free coffee Fridays, free parking. It's Crazy Ernie's going out of business sale. Everything must be Fergler's Hardware Store. If Fergler's doesn't have it, you don't Fergin need it.
Hi, I'm Ernie Fergler.
He's Ernie Fergler. If you don't come buy some stuff today, he'll kick your ass. Be there. Now, some more Bob and Tom.
You want it. You need it. You can't live without it.
This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. I've got people handing me papers left and right and coffee. This is fun. We have a great guest in the studio.
Yes, we do.
She is Caroline Ray.
Morning, Caroline.
Good morning.
Comedian, actress. Shall we go through your resume quickly? Children's icon.
Oh, my kids would die to be here today.
I know. If every maitre d' in the country were 11, I could get into any restaurant. That would be fantastic. So McDonald's, I can get a French...
Mm-hmm. You can get a Happy Meal at McDonald's.
We love McDonald's.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you get a good table at McDonald's, can't you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, something right down front, please.
Well, we need to explain why your kids love Caroline Ray, Christy.
Because of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And I have 4 and 8-year-olds, and they just, oh, gosh, they love that show.
Mm-hmm. I will happily sign Best Witches. My father came up with it.
That's very cute.
Could give out a headshot of me with his face superimposed on it, he would. He's like, literally, he's accosted children. He's like, do you watch Sabrina? And the mother's like, get away from that man. My daughter's Aunt Hilda. I want to be famous.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, no, he's totally
But I
desperate.
Do like Best Witches, so I say from now on, maybe get one of those insets in the corner of your headshot. With your father, but do the front and the profile as if he's being arrested.
Best Witches.
I think this should be your Christmas card. Get a beautiful headshot of you looking, you know, all movie star like, and then have him in the corner like Mel Gibson.
That is really funny.
And then dear Dad, this is my Christmas card. I had my publicist send out 10,000. Are you happy now?
You're
now,
famous.
We actually don't know Caroline, but we know her boyfriend.
Are we talking about that?
I don't know if we're talking about that.
We are now.
Kostaki has mentioned it.
Well, Caroline
I
gave
thought
me
it was Dan Rather.
Caroline gave me a list of questions that I haven't looked at it.
Okay.
Oh. Are you, if you don't want to talk about that, that's
I'm okay. happy to talk about Kostaki.
Okay, now we need
you
to.
You know, it's much better because he talks about me. Mm-hmm. And then, and plus he has old girlfriend jokes. And I'm like, excuse me, that's not about me. No, but you'd lump in, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
actually Kostaki Economopoulos.
Well, he loves you guys.
Is who we're talking about. And Kostaki, actually, when he's on this show, he speaks very highly of you,
yes,
number one.
Does.
And he also always makes the distinction between the former
he does?
Girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yes, and
oh.
you.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now. Okay, so now I feel bad. But I like
he speaks very highly of you.
He's very kind. And when we're on the road and people try and pronounce Kostaki Economopoulos, the best was in Florida when someone said, "Give it up for Econo Cockalockopus." I was like, "Wow, that's the best massacring of a name ever."
That like, sounds like a discount at a Greek whorehouse.
I was going to say that's a money saving. That's a money saving piece.
That's so funny.
Yeah. There you go.
If he and I. Ever have a baby and we have which would be nice. And if we have a son,
yes, mm-hmm.
we have to name, because of the Greek tradition, we have to name him Vasilis because of his father.
Really?
I go, if I am having a baby and I have to name him Vasilis, his middle name is going to be Diller. And then it will be the worst name in America. Caroline. Vasilis Diller Economopoulos. All he'll say is, I hate school. I'm like, why? The beatings. I hate the beatings. Like, well, honey, just say a different name.
But Caroline, the reason you haven't had a baby is because of the Greek tradition.
Come on.
Caroline actually met a couple of my sons earlier this morning.
Oh, I met Willie. He is gorgeous.
And I'll explain how you do that
after
the show.
You know what? It's hard having a baby over 40, but it's not the old eggs. It's the mouth guard and the snoring and the reading glasses. If you can get those are all separate forms of contraceptive in and of themselves. And he's like, well,
wait a second, the mouth guard.
I'll give up hope. I had him after
glasses.
40. You're all right.
Okay.
The snoring.
The snoring.
Bravo.
The snoring with no warning either in the middle of the conversation. Anyway, so then I was I'm like, you were awake a second ago. Full conversation, and now, oh. And he denies that he snores. It's hilarious.
All guys do, because we can't hear it.
That's right.
We're asleep.
You need to get a tape recorder.
He told me I look like Mrs. Claus. I'm like, thank you. That was sort of a weight slam as well. And then he wanted me to read him.
What, a bedtime story?
Yeah, bedtime. That's a very good way of putting it. And I'm literally reading it with, and then I'm like, well, I'm not putting my reading glasses on. So I'm literally like, and then Melinda said, I want to streak your cork. Anything, honey? Anything?
Streak your cork.
Streak your cork.
Wow. I like that very much.
The reading glasses and the snoring. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the mouth guard, too. Don't forget. It's just like, hideous. Yeah.
Now, the mouth guard is...
What is that for?
It's because I grind my teeth.
Teeth grinder.
Because I'm in show business and aging at mock speed, and it makes me nervous. I literally have, like, flat canines at this point. I'm like, oh, this is good.
So you have to wear is it a special mouth guard just for this purpose, or is it the kind that my sons wear for football?
Sort of the same.
I don't think it's
Well,
like
it depends.
That.
I have two. I have the one that I wear for football, of course. Mm-hmm. And then, no, you have to literally, you put disgusting, like, plaster of Paris in your mouth, and you get it fitted, and it's like to stop you from grinding.
I think one night you should go to bed with a helmet on as well.
Just in case I think there's any chance of any sex going on. All right, okay, anyway, honey, let me just suit up.
Put me in, coach.
Oh, boy.
Touchdown!
He streaked my court!
Woo!
I've got my helmet. Why do you think they call it head? I'm sorry.
Wow.
On that note, let's introduce
our
guest.
Your helmet.
Your helmet's very hard.
Purple.
It's there. He's a Vikings fan.
Vikings fan.
Caroline Ray is our
guest. Okay, stop. Sorry.
Do you think if there's any Viking fan out there with the tattoo?
No, come on.
You know what I mean. You know the horns on the...
Guarantee it.
Really?
No way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No way.
Yes.
Two little horns on either side of the helmet.
Oh, yeah.
I'll ask when I'm in Minnesota Friday night.
Don't have anyone show you on stage.
Hey, yo. No, they're not zoned for that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure they're not.
I'm sure someone would draw one on just for the occasion. I've lost my place.
I'm sorry. Caroline
Ray.
We're
talking
our guest. With Caroline.
That's right. We haven't introduced our guest yet. She's Caroline Ray. And there was a semi-rock star with your last name, but he pronounced it Rhea.
Who?
Remember that guy?
Chris
Rhea. Remember his big hits? We're back to trivia.
I am...
Chris Rhea.
Tonight's the end of the world. That's his latest. I don't know.
Got some good... Well, see, this is the kind of thing...
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Lady
you
in
don't
red?
Know.
Was it Lady in Red?
Look it up.
It was not. No, Lady in Red is
Christa Berg.
Don't pay the ferryman? Was that it? Don't even set a price? Remember that, Bob?
I just saw...
Yeah. I remember it.
By the way, dear Bob and Tom, I thought
Chris Rhea, you got Fool, Working on It, and The Road to Hell.
Fool if you think it's over. Is that him?
Fool, I bet it is.
Fool if you think it's over.
Yeah, that was the one. Okay.
Let's hear a little bit of that, Bob.
I just saw Aerosmith in concert, and I am the biggest nerd in the entire world because I thought my entire life AC/DC sang and wrote Dream On. Okay. And I was like, they're covering at their own concert? That is so weird.
I can top that. We had a friend who went to Woodstock, and he was so excited because there was finally a band he'd heard of.
Oh, that's right.
And
The Guess Who?
It was The Who.
Oh.
And he thought it was The Guess Who.
And he kept waiting
when
for...
When are they going to play These Eyes?
Oh, hilarious.
And then they started at the end. Of course, they started smashing their instruments without playing These Eyes. Well, they can't play it now. They've broken all their instruments.
Never played their hit.
Oh.
Yeah. Now,
maybe they'll do it a cappella at the very end.
By the way, dear Bob and Tom, Kostaki, isn't that the name of the new Muppet?
I don't think it is.
In the interview loft, Caroline Ray, you are also a very fine actress, which is really fun.
Were you
an actress before you were a comedian?
I did regional theater and then I always just wanted to do comedy, so I moved to New York 17 years ago to do comedy, and I took the same class that Jon Stewart took.
And there was a class.
Well, he's got the Daily Show. But yeah, there was a class at the New School that Scott Blakeman. And I'm so boring. It's unbelievable. I got to really update that. Wow. It's only when you hear your own bio that you're like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Much more interesting, can I just tell you, when I was flying here yesterday,
yeah, sure.
I was in the airport and I saw Randy Jackson, one of the judges from American Idol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who is so lovely and so, like, always gives me the biggest hug, biggest kiss. And I don't know him that well. You know what I mean? I'm always like, the third hug feels wrong. I'm like, okay, let go of me. But he's very, very nice. And he's like, dog, what is up, dog? And I'm like, I don't watch the show. Are you calling me a dog? Well, I don't really get it. And then, so then we're walking together just towards our flight. And we see Scottie Pippen. Who's like one of the few athletes I could actually, you know, identify.
Recognize,
and I'm like, oh. So then it's myself, Scottie Pippen, and Randy Jackson. Okay? And it's like this weird Musicians of Bremen. You know, I'm like, who else will we collect in the airport? Then we see Flava Flav. I'm like, where am I? And Flava Flav is like, Sweet Caroline. And I'm like, whoa. And Flava Flav is wearing a clock like the size of his body around his neck. And I'm like, how did that go through security? And I have no chapstick. Like, it literally looked like a cartoon bomb. And he could like clunk someone over the head with it. And they're like, moisturizer, give it to me. He's like, hi, how about this giant weapon? So then it's like the four of us. And then people are just like, it's like we're doing a weird little photo shoot. It's like we've auditioned for The Surreal Life. I'm like, Scotty, Randy, Flav, look at the camera. I'm like the mother instantly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The new Mod Squad.
Yeah.
I was,
when Flava Flav walked up, could you tell if you were late for your flight or not?
That's got to be handy.
Does it have the correct time?
Oh, that is hilarious. You know what? I didn't notice if it did, but he had a giant posse, which was hilarious. And, you know, and then I just have random people coming up to me. I've lost 74 pounds. And people are like, why are they telling you that? I'm like, never mind. I can't even explain it.
They don't want to know.
Must not have seen the one show. They just saw the witch thing. Or weren't aware of the other thing.
Flavor Flav.
God. Have you seen
any of that? Wait a second. Just you have to be thankful, though. I mean, you have that right now. One of the things, it's nice that people know you. Nice that they watch your show. And they associate you with a good thing, weight loss, which is great. Now, your Flavor Flav. You were famous for about 10 minutes a couple decades ago, and you have to wear a clock around the rest of your life. See, how would that be? Remember those two guys that were famous for a while that wore their pants backwards?
Yeah. Crisscross?
Crisscross.
Oh, yeah, Crisscross.
Think those guys are still sticking to that? You think they're
probably not.
That is so hilarious. I don't know who Crisscross are.
Mm-hmm. Remember they wore everything backwards.
They wore their pants backwards.
Mm-hmm. They were deeply affected by Backwards Day as a child.
They were huge rap stars and, you know. Or Nelson, same thing. You got
to
walk around. With
how about I was sitting next to the air marshal on the airplane, and I've sat next to enough of them that
did you feel his gun?
I was hoping that was a gun. That's all I can say.
Hug me. That third hug.
That third hug. Randy, hello.
I don't know who you are, lady, but take that out of your mouth.
Wow.
What?
No more gin and tonics.
Wow.
Sorry.
You
know what? Christy's right. You do embarrass us.
But it's like the vermouth in a martini. You don't see it coming.
Good morning, Bob and Tom show.
I'm on a Stony Biker.
Hey, hi, Donnie.
Hey, Caroline, what's the name of your show again?
The Biggest Loser.
Hey, Randy, this lady on TV wants to interview you. No, man, I swear to God she does.
No, Donnie, I'm not taking the phone.
Bad, man, I got to go. All
right. Thanks, Donnie. But The Biggest Loser does very well.
No, it does. You know what? I actually really like the show, and I really like the people. It's just it's so separate from my stand-up comedy career, and on occasion we laugh so hysterically on that show, and then you have to go back to, like, you know, being serious. So
could we answer
again? Let me see. All right, I'll pick this one. Morning, Bob and Tom show.
Hey, Bob and Tom show. It's Jumbo the Yannabin.
Hi, Jumbo.
Hey, Jumbo.
I heard you got that TV lady on there that'll help you lose weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's the host of a show called The Biggest Loser about weightless. Jumbo, what do you weigh these days?
What's the record on that show? Like, what's the biggest weight loss they've ever had on there?
We have never had an elephant on the show yet, but it is going to be in sweeps, so I'm just telling
exactly
you.
That's exactly my point, lady. Mm-hmm. This is totally some kind of discrimination deal. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, humans. Oh, what are they going to lose? A couple of 100 pounds?
Yeah.
Big whoop-de-doo. I lose a couple of 100 pounds every day a couple of times.
Oh, boy.
All All right.
There we are.
This is a no-brainer.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, I am pushing the scale at about, 14.5.
Yeah.
I'm looking to drop a couple of thousand pounds,
mm-hmm.
get back out of my high school weight. I got a reunion coming up.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking that if I were to get on this show and lose, let's say 2,500 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you suppose I could come in first place and be the biggest loser?
I think you could be, yeah. Yes, Jumbo.
I think it's a great idea, and I'm just saying tomorrow is Elephant Appreciation Day.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I forgot about that. It is National Elephant Appreciation Day. Zoos across the country will be celebrating.
Perfect. We need to get him a cake.
Cake? Oh, my God, I love cake.
He's trying to lose weight, Bob.
Screw the weight loss.
He loves cake.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
Thank you, Jumbo.
Maybe some Reese's Pieces. All right.
Mm-hmm. Caroline Ray is our guest. And
you have a lot of elephants that call in?
No,
just one.
No.
And first of all, I'm not an animal discriminator. I worked with a cat for 7 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
yes, that's right.
And you'd walk on the set, and there would be like a memo. Do not make eye contact with the panther that's visiting today. I'm like, if there's a panther visiting today, my eyes will not be near her. Mm-hmm. It's just... Yeah. Ridiculous amounts of animals we worked with.
Did the cat have his own trailer?
Let me tell you, I like it when they ask me if the cat's real. Mm-hmm. And people ask me all the time. I'm like, I swear to God, people are like, is the cat real? I'm like,
yeah.
No.
It's Nick, right? Nick
Bakay.
Nick Bakay, yeah.
I always want to say to people, have you ever seen a cat that you're asking me that?
You know, and cats don't talk, right?
And I said to someone, I go, no, the cat's not real. And she said, you know what? I did think that the teeth looked fake. I was like, that's what gave it away? Wow. How about it look like an alcoholic rabbit wearing a hairpiece? But for you, it's like the molars. Okay.
Morning, Bob and Tom show.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Lieberman calling.
Joe!
Hello, Senator.
Hey, Joe, how's the campaign going? You're running as an independent, I understand.
Well, I am. I was curious, Caroline, if I could, if you were going to have me on your show.
I think after the November elections, she can.
Okay, well, don't forget to call me, please, because you know what, Caroline?
What?
Regardless of what everyone says, I've got... Joe Mentum.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joe Lieberman.
Joe.
Hello. The dynamo politician.
You bet.
Joe Mentum. You fall asleep?
I did.
Caroline Ray is our guest, and we have a list of topics to discuss that I haven't even looked at yet. Have we covered any?
One of them yet.
We haven't gotten any.
Caroline, you were talking about moving to New York City. You are Canadian.
I'm a Canadian, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a history of tremendous Canadian... comedians that have been on this show.
I think it's because we were brought up to make fun of ourselves. That it's like we if we had a national rally, we'd all be chanting, "We're number two. We're number two."
Yikes.
Yeah.
But now we've got a lot of oil, so suck up, everybody. Okay? Keep it going.
Who's there your best you friend go. Now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Who's
true.
Attached on top? Hello.
Canada likes it on top. Now, that should be a good t-shirt.
That would be. Mm-hmm. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that gets back to the Greek thing.
I loved it when the Canadian...
stop that.
I got told by someone here today that, like, I can hear your Canadian accent. I always loved it when you would be watching the X-Files, which they filmed in Vancouver, and they'd like sneak in the smaller parts as Canadians, but you could did you ever watch that show?
Mm-hmm.
They were always like, I'm going over to the CIA, Mulder. I'm like, Canadian.
Canadian.
Oh, sorry about the alien raid, Okay. Sorry.
You do not have a Canadian accent at all.
No, I don't have one like that. You don't. You have a beautiful voice.
Who?
I think I should go into radio. Because obviously I've been trying to find a professional career doing it. It didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
We ended
it's
up here. You do not have an accent at all.
I don't think you have an accent.
No.
I do not know you.
I got busted immediately. Literally every episode of Sabrina. It's like, Sabrina, do not leave this house. Do not leave this house with a moose. What are you talking about? I don't know. Occasional the words would come out, but not always.
I often catch Donald Sutherland doing that.
Donald Sutherland sounds very Canadian, but I think, and especially I love it when he's playing president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am the president of the United States. You're like, wow. That's a good cover for you, right?
What was that show?
Where's my Duke?
He just played the bad guy in the show with the woman president.
Oh, with Gina Davis?
Yeah, he was the...
Oh, that's right. He was the evil president.
He was like the evil... senator from Canada. I'll tell you what. Yeah. You think you hate the Democrats. We're going to take a break.
All right.
Come right back. Our guest is very funny. She's Caroline Ray, actress and comedian. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
You're listening to A Little Extra. Bob and Tom Extra. This is the Bob and Tom Show from the Napa Studios. Keep us with you at all times. Get the Bob and Tom app now at your app store. Now, some more Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Today, kind of a nerd fest.
Kind of.
We have a comedian Chris Hardwick, who is known as a nerdist. And Tom Rhodes, you're not really a nerd. You're kind of a macho-looking guy.
He's a well-traveled man. That's what he is.
Yeah, international
and
traveler.
Worldly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. Now, Chris, you do use the word nerdist.
Yes.
Which sounds
well, that's your website, isn't it?
That's my website, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nerdist. Yeah. That's right.
Sounds kind of
my podcast is called Nerdist, too.
Yeah. The word nerdist, it sounds kind of like people playing volleyball in the nude. I'm going to a nerdist camp. Oh.
Did you say nudist camp? It's very close. No, it's very not. Close. Mm-hmm.
And we have been talking about, and you have been playing with your iPad.
Yes, sir.
All morning long. And you know, now you're incredibly distracted because I guess you asked people to send. We were talking about this notion of sending the body parts. Christy, mm-hmm. Christy had a story in which a friend of hers. Now Christy's playing with her. What are you playing
with? Because now I'm getting pictures. From
did you get my picture,
all
by
your
the way?
Friends,
no, I didn't. Did you send it to my phone?
No, I sent it to your email.
Oh, I didn't.
To be fair, I'm going through these, and it's not all ladies. It's pictures of, like, it's joke pictures, like a cartoon penis, and underneath it says, my owner beats me. Like, it's stuff like that. That's what I'm getting.
Very, very funny.
Okay, you know, say what you want, but that's funny.
That is,
okay?
That is funny.
That's funny. Yeah.
Wow.
My owner beats me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ah, technology. Oh, dear God. Well, what else has happened? Wait, Chris, let's get off the tech. What else is going on in the world of your life?
He just can't turn his eyes away from all the flesh.
That is his life.
Well, here's a woman in a stormtrooper outfit, and underneath is a woman with a gut hanging below her dress line.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
That's what I'm getting. That's
all
what
right.
I'm getting.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, I've been, I'm doing this podcast now, the Nerdist podcast, which is really fun.
We have a link to the Muppets thing.
Yeah, I interviewed the Muppets on this week's podcast.
Can you tell us about that?
It was amazing. I got to talk to the Muppets, and I because they're nominated for a Webby Award, so they came on, and I talked to all of them about what their careers have been like in the last 3.5 decades and the transition from the Muppet Show to film. And like, it was an actual interview, and they were awesome and hilarious. It was really cool.
In the, what fun. The video of them doing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah, that's nominated for a Webby. Yeah. But that's been fun. I've been traveling a ton.
Any interesting things from the world of traveling?
Yeah, you see the weirdest. I was driving through Kansas a couple of months ago, and off on the side of the road, you get into these smaller towns where it's just a handful of people, and I guess they're bored. But off on the side of the road, someone had written on a hay bale, which is, I guess, the thing people do. They wrote, Obama lies. And then on another hay bale next to that, someone wrote, on your mom.
Yes.
Hay bales, redneck chat threads, y'all. Redneck chat threads.
That's funny.
It was very funny.
Oh, my
very
God.
Funny. Someone took the time to write on another hay bale.
On your mom.
And to go right to the classics.
Yeah.
Wow. Hilarious.
The mom joke. Right. Now, where do your parents live?
My dad lives primarily in Florida, because that's what happens when you get when you hit your mid-60s. The country just folds up and kicks you into Florida, because people don't die there. They just get older and older. It's hot. It's like a smokehouse. They just turn into people jerky, I figured out is what happens in Florida.
Sure.
My mom lives in Pasadena.
And now, is she small of stature? Then she would be the little old lady in Pasadena.
She is. She's a tiny Italian lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
where does your dad live in Florida?
He lives in Bradenton, which I think he might be the youngest person. I think Bradenton's motto is, who put all this poop in my underwear? He's the youngest person in Bradenton.
All right. Yeah,
Bradenton's
sure.
pretty redneck. Yeah. I'm from Florida.
Oh, yeah? Where?
I'm from a little town outside of Orlando called Oviedo.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite rapper is Flo Rida because he is from Flo Rida.
Oh, yep. Really?
And you know, when he came out, every rapper in Florida went, oh, man.
Well,
all I had to
right
do was
there.
Hit the space bar.
It was right there. I was there all the time.
You have a favorite rapper? See, I don't even have a favorite one. I don't know enough about
No.
him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is his rapping? What sphere of rapping is he into? The one bragging about how great he is and all this stuff? That sphere?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all of them. Sorry.
I like songs about male supreme dominance.
Ah.
Huh. Easy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see an anti-rapper about his small penis, no money, no girls will talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song blows. I'm not a musician. Something like that. Yeah, exactly. that'd be the way I would want to go. Well, now, Tom, let's talk about what else is interesting in your life. You've been all over the world. You say you do comedy shows all over Europe. Oh, I keep getting back to the tech thing. I'm sorry, this is my last one. It's my understanding that the laptop, Chris, in Europe is a lot of people are just getting rid of them because they're going all with their handheld devices.
Smartphones.
Yeah, they've been a largely, you know, when you look at Europe and Korea, they've been a largely handheld media-driven society for a much longer than the States.
Like, so if we go out with my idea of making a pair of pants with a gigantic pocket.
A German will wear it.
It right. will hold an yes. iPad. Uh-huh. I don't even know why I'm saying it. I'm sure someone's already done it.
A
gigantic pocket in your pants so you can hold your iPad.
Yep.
So if you go for a walk in the park, do you carry that thing with you, or do you go back to your little iPhone?
You would look like an ass if you did that. And no, I would switch to the iPhone. I wouldn't walk around the park like this.
Can't you take a walk without a technical device?
I'm asking.
No, you can actually take a walk on your technical device.
See these Nike shoes that I'm wearing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have the little sensor in them that connects to my phone so that when I run, I get all of my running data.
All your information.
Yes.
I can't help it.
Oh, my gosh.
If this thing had a vagina, I would not leave the house. You don't understand.
I just saw one.
It
has several.
What the hell are you, blind?
Are you nuts? What do you think that is?
Put that down.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you're familiar with the 1976 film, The Black Hole.
No.
Wow, that's rough.
I've got it. Who is that guy?
People are sending us
unpleasant
pictures. Now, let me ask. They have a device that measures your running stats on your shoes. Is there something that does a similar measurement for sexual activity? Is there some kind of conjugal app?
I guess you could strap the sensor to your junk.
I guess you could.
Or your behind.
Yeah.
Jackhammer
motion.
When you say, how was it for you? And you go, just a second.
let me just pull this USB device out.
Yeah, dress in women's clothing and run from the police. See what that does. Mm-hmm.
I'll pull this drive out of my port.
So I'm sorry. So, Tom, you're doing shows in Europe in front of audiences, English-speaking audiences, one would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does that go? Do you have to change a lot of the jokes?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's international people all over. But in October, November, I was in London and Amsterdam. I did a tour of Switzerland, and a guy told me a joke in Switzerland. What kind of wife can cook dinner with her right hand, do the ironing with her left hand, feed the children with her right foot, and please her husband sexually with her left foot? What kind of wife?
Hmm.
A Swiss Army wife.
Very good. That's very funny.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm surprised they don't have that on the iPad.
The Swiss Army wife?
Well, they probably
No. The Swiss Army. In other words, the iPad, there'd be a little thing of scissors that would come out of the top, a little corkscrew,
Tom,
a knife.
It's just early. It's the early stages of the iPad.
Oh, sure.
That's right.
Sure.
Wait till you get to the Swiss Army.
It'll
iPad.
Have tweezers on the side of it one day.
Mm-hmm.
I always like the tweezers.
Really?
Of course
I like the toothpick.
You like the toothpick?
That tells you all you need to know about Tom.
Tweezers.
His favorite utensil on the Swiss
Army knife. No. My favorite utensil on the Swiss Army knife was the saw.
You like the saw.
What'd you use the saw
You know
for?
How long it would take
what
to
did you
actually saw
Seriously?
With that?
What did you use the saw for?
Just never knew when
That's
you were going to
need it. That's why Switzerland's so small. You know? They had these little tiny saws that couldn't build anything.
You're listening to Bob and Tom Extra.